Why is this patient in lockdown?
They didn't tell you about Laurie Strode, sister of Michael Myers? She decapitated a man.
Why? Oh my God, she killed the wrong person. Why didn't the paramedics say something?
His larynx had been crushed.
I would have preferred just to see him sewing his decapitated head back on.
We're in. They picked all three of us.
We're going to be bigger than the Osbournes.
They're exploring the house of a mass murderer. Live. You want to watch?
Don't do it. That's the house where it all started.
Why the hell you dressed like me anyway? I ain't telling you to be Michael Myers. I'm playing Michael Myers.
That was so fake.
That really just happened. She was just killed.
I so did not sign up for this.
Oh, yeah. How'd you do that?
Subdigital effects.
Go to the other camera.
Tell her he's coming up the stairs.
This isn't funny anymore, guys.
Trick or treat, motherfucker. He's been living underneath this fucking house for who knows how long. Probably the last 20 years.
Looking a little crispy over there, Mikey. Like some chicken fried, motherfucker.
Trick or treat.
Motherfucker.
Trick or treat.
Motherfucker.
The bitter and the sweet. Trick or treat.
Motherfucker.
Trick or treat.
Motherfucker.
The bitter and the sweet.
Hi, I'm Spice Williams Crosby from Fatal Games, and you are listening to Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. Welcome to Hysteria Continues episode, and I actually have no idea what episode we're on. That's because...
130.
130, that's because it is a drunk cast. We are, and the bar is now open, so put a little bit of background music. We've decided to have a little drunk cast for a number of reasons, really. One is that because of our scheduling conflicts, we're actually recording this late into the evening over on the UK and Irish side. And early evening on your side?
Early, very early evening for them. They have no excuse to be drinking this early.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right here. It's 5 o'clock here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, because the other reason we're drinking, of course, is we're covering Halloween Resurrection. Of course, if we ever do get around to the next two Halloween films, we'll probably need something strong like heroin or crystal meth or something. But we will, or sort of arsenic, maybe, I don't know. But at the moment, what is your poison of choice? Nathan, what have you been drinking?
I drank a couple of Moscow Mules, and I am drinking a glass of wine.
Oh, very sophisticated. That's very red or white?
It's pink.
Oh, rosé.
Yes. Well, actually, it's what we like to call over in these parts, Carbordeaux, because it comes in a cardboard box.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Wow, that's very classy. Eric, are you enjoying...
very classy.
Eric, are you enjoying a stiff one tonight?
I am enjoying a stiff one as well, and a very classy stiff one. I can now class Nathan, because I'm having vodka with... Cherry Pepsi Max.
Wow.
You know, there was vodka in my Moscow Mules.
Well, it is, I say, keeping the class up. And Joseph, what are you drinking?
I'm having a nice snifter of warm Pois William.
What's that?
What?
Ew.
Actually, I'm just drinking Purple Haze. I'm a lightweight. It's beer or lager. It's raspberry beer.
Ooh.
Oh,
that makes you a girl.
That makes you a bit of a girl, actually, yeah.
It's like a stout. I don't know what they call it, a stout. But
it's a fruity flavor, it means that you must be fruity, too.
Well, it tastes like beer. I'm going to pour it on your head.
Ooh. Very long arms.
That'll be quite interesting thing, you know, since he's in Ireland.
Yeah.
But hopefully this one...
Hey, listen to this. I'm so drunk.
It's like a sea shanty.
Yeah. Eric,
you are
sorry,
not.
Joseph's Pipes of Peace.
Yeah,
anyway,
you wouldn't mind smoking that.
I'm the classiest of the lot, because I'm drinking a dry vodka martini. Actually, a dirty martini.
You slipped out of your wet clothes into a dry martini.
Well, I'm drinking. It's a dirty martini. Do you know what a dirty martini is?
It's got opposite of a clean.
It hasn't got poo in it. No, Eric, don't bring in. Oh my goodness, bring in the, bring the tone down to this podcast. What, you bust
your
lines?
Toilets are funny.
No.
He
just
could have had like 10 martinis and he would still sound like he does during a normal television show. Well, not television show. Podcast. What is this thing we do? Podcast.
Yes. That's what happens when you drink 24/7. You just kind of get a tolerance.
Your system gets used to it.
Well, to be honest, this is the first drink.
Oh, my God.
That was disgusting. Who did that?
Carbonation.
With Joseph.
Oh my God.
Carbonation.
People don't tune in for this kind of thing. Anyway, a dirty martini
a poo in your martini?
No. A dirty martini is when you pop a couple of olives in and a bit of the brine water from the olive juice.
I'd rather have a poo in it.
Do you eat olives, actually. Justin?
Do I eat olives? Yes.
Yeah, do you just eat them?
What do you think I do with them?
Well, just like you might just put them in your drink, but not eat them.
Oh, no, I eat them when I get to the bottom because then they've soaked up the vodka.
Oh, yeah, of course. You can't waste a drop of that.
Exactly. No. It's a lovely little savoury drop at the bottom of the
Imagine, Justin, you're kind of like Sean Ryder because he famously dropped some cocaine on the floor in an airport or something and he ended up licking it off the floor. I imagine that's what, like you with vodka.
Wow.
All I've had is literally, actually, vodka martinis are very, very strong. I do make them quite strong. But this is the first drink I've had today, so I'm a professional. And I'm only drinking to keep Nathan company.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Because I was like, we advertised this thing as a drunk cast, so I'm like, I actually did pre-drink. And now I feel terrible because...
Well, don't feel alone. The alcohol's hitting... The alcohol's hitting me as well, so you're not...
Yeah, the alcohol's hitting me as well. Have you not heard me say the word poo about 7 times already?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's normal.
Hey, listen, I'm going to take a drink right now.
Oh.
God, it's like Homer Simpson.
Drink.
Normally...
A cigarette.
Yeah. You're having a cigarette?
No.
No.
But I said it was.
Well, normally the only thing that touches my lips is communion wine once a week on the Sunday. But yeah. I thought I'd make a...
Go to church.
I do, every Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll go to the church Alice Sweet Alice went to.
Well, I used to, because I was brought up Catholic. I went at First Holy Communion and all that crap.
Are you a lapsed one now?
I'm very lapsed.
Are you a lapsed?
So I got a question for you, Justin.
Mm.
You were brought up Catholic. Whilst you were brought up Catholic, did you believe in God, or did you just go along with it because it was something your family did?
Well, no, to be honest, there was when I realised, there were two reasons I realised that it was all load of bollocks. One was that outside the church, I'm so old that they used to do masses in Latin, and I came out and there was all these women stood outside bitching about another woman. I thought that's very odd because we've been told it was all about love and forgiveness. And then the other reason I knew it was a load of bollocks was our deputy head, I think it was Mrs. Granger, or was that Grange Hill? No, I think it was Miss Granger. She said she prayed to Jesus because she lost her car keys, and then she found them because she opened the drawer, and they were in her drawer by her desk. And I thought, that didn't really happen. So after that, I was a confirmed
atheist.
But
you've got no proof that Jesus didn't intervene in that scenario, did you?
Well, that's true.
He doesn't have the burden of proof.
I know. But it did push me over the edge, so I kind of decided then I was probably didn't really believe in God. But anyway, this isn't the Jean-Paul Sartre existentialist.
Yeah, well, especially Joseph is drunk bringing up topics like that.
Joseph, what? This is not like you.
Justin brought it up.
Yeah.
Well, you asked him about when did he like realize he was an atheist?
He was talking about lapsed Catholics. Yeah. Although I should probably mention that now that I've had some drinks and I still have more, you might actually see an Inga in me today.
Oh, are you mean? Are you a mean drunk?
You want to have Inga inside you.
You're a rude one, I'll tell you that. But are you a mean one?
You've seen me drunk. You tell me.
Are you being
I don't remember. I was
tonight,
drunk, too.
Joseph.
Next thing I know, we woke up and our movies were all over the floor and the shelves had all fallen down.
And your clothes.
Did you say, and our clothes? No.
Yes,
Joseph,
I did.
But I never had a naked moment. Thank you.
Well, the night is still yet young. So, anyway, before... Obviously, this is also a Halloween show, so we are going to be coming on to the joys, or maybe not, of Halloween Resurrection a little bit later. But before we do that, should we have a little chat in time on a tradition before it all goes a little bit south? about what we've been watching recently. So, Joseph, before you kind of pull down the shelves, do you want to tell us what you've been watching recently?
Sure. Obviously, I've been watching Ash vs. Evil Dead, the second season. I'm not going to spoil much of it for people who haven't seen it, but I'm really impressed with the second season so far, probably more so than the first. In particular, in the second episode, they kind of out-rival something like someone like Brian Usna's society. There's a similar scene in the second episode that's just so outlandish and very disgusting. It was quite, you know, spectacular to watch. But, you know, so far it's been a really fun season. Bruce Campbell's in fine form as always. Just a fun show, and I still love that it's, you know, each episode's about 20 minutes, so it doesn't overstay its welcome. Just, you know, I think everyone should be watching this. It's just a great show.
I've still not seen any of them, but I will get around to it eventually.
Okay. I've been watching season two as well, and I would be in agreement with Joseph. I am enjoying it, and Lee Majors is in there as well, playing Bruce.
Yeah.
Are they very short? Sort of. They're only about half an hour long or something.
Yeah, they're half an hour long, I suppose, and with an ad break, they're, so they come in about 27, 26 minutes or so. So
it's a real kind of like candy sort of sugar rush kind of like short.
Burst. It is completely, and the plot is not in any way sophisticated or in depth or anything. It really is gag laden, much like the movies were. So, so it's not something that you have to intensely follow, and it's not going to stimulate the intellect or anything, but it's great fun. And that scene you were mentioning about that rival society is disgusting.
But very
funny.
It's hilarious. I laughed out loud.
Is it like your dates, Eric, gag laden?
Well, they would be gag laden. No, they gag a lot because of my enormous member.
Oh,
so I lined you up for that one, Eric. I hope you thank me.
You did.
Raise a little glass to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ka-ching.
And sip my cherry Pepsi and vodka because I'm sophisticated and shit.
Well, that's all good. Yes. So, Joseph, have you been watching anything else?
Yeah, a couple of things. I watched a show on Hulu called Freakish. It's basically. These teenagers have to spend Saturday in detention, kind of like the Breakfast Club. And basically, there's an explosion at this nearby chemical factory that just basically sends this kind of toxic cloud in the air and turns people into kind of like 28 days later, you know, rabid, I guess you'd call them zombies, although people argue that those aren't zombies in that film. But anyway, and, you know, they descend upon the school and, you know, all hell breaks loose. I think it's 10 episodes. They're all about 25 minutes long, like Ash versus Evil Dead. So, you know, there's not a lot of slow parts. It starts out a little cheesy, but it gets really, you know, really fast paced and entertaining. And towards the end, it gets a little dark. But, you know, what I really liked about the show is that the characters are really well developed in a short period of time. There's a lot of, you know, ghoulish, you know, scenery to kind of go along with the nice characters. Even the characters who are portrayed as assholes are likable. So I mean, it's a fun show. It, you know, it's 10 episodes long, 20, 25 minutes each. Just all around fun. You know, I'm kind of sick of the whole zombie thing, but, you know, for my money, this is totally better than something like The Walking Dead. I don't know if you two in Europe have Hulu, but if you do, check this out. It's called Freakish. It's quite good. I think Nathan's seen it.
I did watch it.
So what did you
think? It was like really good.
Yeah,
Nathan,
I liked
you sound like a valley girl, doesn't it? Nathan sounds like a valley girl.
You know, it was. I've only seen a few episodes, but I pre-drank. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
So it was really, really good. Okay, I'm maintain. Let's just maintain. Let's just pretend to be not drunk. It was a very good film. Not film. It was a good TV show.
Yeah.
And I recommend it. And I've only seen like three episodes so far, but I thought they were really, really good. It's very fast paced. Like, it's like you'll start watching an episode and it's like over before you know it. And I probably would binge watch it, but we've got so many other shows we're watching right now here at my house. So, you know, I guess I'm just a TV junkie, but I'm trying to pepper it in so I don't lose it too fast.
One other thing I should mention is that I guess around the halfway point of the show, it kind of like You know, rather than focusing on like a lot of like zombies or whatever they are, for like a short period of time, it kind of focuses on one particular threat. So it feels almost like a slasher movie with these people getting picked off one by one. So, you know, I really enjoyed that about it. So I definitely recommend this. I highly recommend it, actually.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I take it, Eric, you've not seen it.
No.
No, we don't have Hulu over here, do we?
No.
No. But, okay, was there anything else, Joseph?
Yeah, just one more. I watched the Santa slasher, All Through the House.
Okay.
With the Santa with the garden shears.
Mm.
And it was okay. I think I liked some of the ghoulish and kind of jokey imagery more than I did the actual movie. The problem is the directing's kind of bad. Like, they have these characters who basically see a threat and they just stand there and they don't do anything. And I don't know, and it really bugs me, like, when someone's, like, say the killer's, like, 20 feet away, and they just stand there and scream. They don't try to run. They don't try to fight back. It just, you know, it just seems lazy. But, you know, however, I did like a lot of the ghoulish imagery, and some of the stuff they do in the film is pretty gruesome and kind of hilarious. But, I don't know, kind of a mixed bag for me. Shot well. It looks really, you know, really impressive, but I don't know. It just could have been a lot better than what it was.
Okay. I've not seen that. Anyone else seen that?
New.
No. Nathan, how about you? Are you still with us?
I am. I haven't seen it. I want to, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you, Joseph. Nathan, how about you?
Friday night, I watched Pet Sematary.
Okay, excellent.
I'd seen it, you know, a long time ago, and it's been a while since I've watched it again. Mainly the biggest thing I remember about it was Zelda, because she's kind of burned into my memory. But, I mean, I really liked the film. I think my problem with it, which is not a bad thing, I mean, it's not a complaint about the movie, but it's that it's such a downbeat film. I mean, you're just watching this family go through tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. I mean, it's just it's kind of a very sad horror film. But I think it's a very good one. It's just a very, very sad one. But I mean, I know I'm sure all you guys have watched it, right?
I saw it at the cinema. Well, I remember seeing it at the cinema.
Yeah, 27 years ago I did. I haven't seen it since.
You don't remember anything about it? Nothing?
I remember thinking it was meh.
Eric, you should watch it again because you've changed your mind about a lot of movies.
I know.
I feel like I've helped you.
I do remember is it Fred Gwynne gets his ankles sliced, which was quite an ow moment. Yeah.
Painful moment.
I'm one of those people who actually prefers the sequel because it's so goofy and it's actually kind of fun. Where the first one's kind of
Edward Furlong, is it?
Yeah, the first one's so dreary and downbeat, but the sequel's so goofy. And Clancy Brown as the cop stepfather, he's just so good in the film. It's just so watchable.
I remember the.
But I don't really remember much about Pet Sematary other than the little kid and the. You can't go down that rod. That's a dangerous rod.
Fred, are you sure you're not thinking of South Park?
Well, that's what they're making fun of.
Yeah.
I remember the dad being really hot.
Oh, yeah, he is. I mean, we can't deny that.
Dale Midkiff, is that who that was?
Yeah. But he's very stupid.
I remember him not being hot.
Doesn't matter too much, really, does it?
One thing I do remember about that film, and I think Nathan mentioned that, was the scene with was it Zelda, the old hag looking?
Yeah, thing? Like the hag thing, yeah.
Oh, dear.
The wife's sister.
Come out again. Yeah, it was just creepy.
She was the scariest part of the movie for me. I mean, she was just really freaky looking, and you know, I can't imagine being an 8-year-old taking care of this, like, you know, crazy demented woman.
I think both
she's like the Stephen King version of Peter Bark from Burial Ground.
Well, I think
Burial Ground, that's a great film. Now, have all you guys seen Burial Ground?
Yes,
of course. We
how could you not?
Well,
breast munching tastic.
Oh, Eric.
Mama, I need your breast, Mama.
People are so mean to the mom in that movie. I'm like, I mean, okay, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
she's fucking weird, okay?
What? No, she let her son, like, put his mouth on her boobie, which is probably not a good thing, especially at his age.
32.
Yeah. And the fact that he's obviously a zombie as well.
But she was, like, she was overcome with grief at the time, so she probably wasn't thinking clearly.
Nathan and I think Peter Bark is like the human version of Hans Moleman. He's like a weird little thing. He's not human.
Justin won't get that reference. Hans Moleman is a character in The Simpsons.
Okay, Justin. Okay. I wish I'd... I should have caught up with The Simpsons, but it's been like 442 episodes, so I feel a little bit left out.
Well, I mean, you only have to watch the first, like, 10 seasons, and after that you can just forget it, because the rest of the seasons are not that great.
Oh, okay.
You know. Hit and miss.
Hit and miss. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that.
Thank you, Nathan. Obviously, given that you've had a few drinks, I don't want to interrupt you, so I'm giving you...
because that would be bad. It would be a bad day.
I mean, thankfully, I'm not near a kind of a pool or a like fountain you can throw me, toss me off into, but like in Dynasty.
Tossing him off?
But hey! I would like...
You are so rude.
What?
I'm talking about Nathan.
Carry on, Nathan.
Joseph. And I watched American Horror Story. I'm very, very addicted to that show. Now, I haven't really liked the last few seasons that much. I mean, I didn't dislike them, but I thought they were just kind of meh. But this current season is really, really good. And the last half of the season is, I think, going to be kind of a found footage slasher type deal. And that's not a spoiler, so nobody that hasn't seen that episode yet, please don't get on Facebook and scream and yell and cuss me out over this, because I swear it's not a spoiler. You know, it's not like I'm saying, oh, the maid of the house is the one knocking all these people off, okay? I didn't say that.
I like the maid of the first season.
So there.
Is that Alexandra something?
Oh, yeah.
Paul? Is it Paul? No.
Alexandra Breckenridge.
Breckenridge.
That's right,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did she come back? Because I kind of...
No.
I got to, like, the half of second season, and I gave up, so...
Yeah, like, I can understand, like, a lot of people, you know, like the first season the best. But to me, this current season, I think it's the best, because, you know, I'm loving where they're going with it. You know, it's... and it's already made me jump a few times. And
apparently, it's like
a TV show to make me
jump. Isn't, like, the first half sort of like a faux documentary, and then it turns into, like, found footage slasher or whatever?
They kind of do, yeah. They kind of do, like, a documentary during the first half. And then the second half, I don't want to say it's a slasher, because we haven't seen a whole lot about it and where they're going with it. But the general idea that I'm getting, like, the hints I'm getting from it, is that it's going to be one of those where people get knocked off one by one until the end of the show.
Now, do you? I know the second season you didn't have to see the previous to understand it. Is this the same with this season?
Yeah, it's a whole new season in and of itself. You don't have to see any previous season, because the most they do is they might tie a season together, but the ties are so tenuous that only people that have seen the previous season would get it. Anybody else, it just wouldn't mean anything to them. So it's not like you have to see them to know.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Nathan. I haven't seen... I'm a bit like a lot of people. I haven't seen anything past the first season, so I know there's been like 442 seasons, but...
I just think everybody should at least try to watch the newest one. Like,
okay.
Because, I mean, to me, it's got even a better feel. I even like it more than season one. I think it's even way better than season one to me so far.
Okay.
So I feel like they've really found a stride this season. But, of course, I'm a slasher fan. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, you know, if I see something leading to a slasher... esque, you know, area, then I'm going to really like it.
Has anyone watched Scream Queens second season?
Yes, I love Scream Queens.
Is it still got a slasher thing going on or not?
Yeah, this season they're in a hospital and there's like a slasher killer. But if you don't like that goofy humor that was in the first season, then you shouldn't watch the second one. I like it just because I like stupid movies. So, of course, I like stupid TV shows, you know. So, I mean, if you watched the first season and thought it was terrible, then don't watch the second, because it's more of the same. But if you like the first season, then I'd say give the second season a shot.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. So, anything else, Nathan?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, it's been like, you know, about 6 months since we recorded last, but I feel like if I had seen anything else, I would have wrote it down, and I'm looking at my notes. They're kind of jumbled, but...
A bit blurry.
I don't see anything else on them. Yeah, a little bit.
Bit blurry, okay. Well, thank you, Nathan. How about you, Eric?
You're welcome.
Watching. Oh, thank you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Okay, yeah. Well, I suppose staying with the TV theme, I have been watching, along with Ash vs. Evil Dead, the other one I'm giving a whirl to is the Exorcist TV series, which is now on episode 5, I believe. And up until now, I have been like, oh, this is dragging on and on. It's a bit dull. It starts off in episode 1 with a woman going to a priest saying, I think my daughter is possessed, on the basis that her daughter has just decided she wants to stay in a room a bit more and text her friends and do stuff like that and be a bit of an emo or a goth, Justin. And that's the only signs of possession she's, well, even if you can call it that, that she's showing. And I was
Burn the witch.
Yes. And so, like, for the first 4 episodes, I was not into it, but I said I'll persevere. I think there's going to be 13 episodes in it. Now, there's something happens in episode 5 that has me hooked now and intrigued to, you know, to stick with it. So I won't say what it is, but so up until this point, I've been a bit bored by it, but now something has happened where I'm like, ooh, this could be good. So, yeah, I'm going to give that a whirl. Otherwise, I watched Omen 4 The Awakening, which is a DVD I picked up for 50 cents a couple of weeks ago. It's a made-for-TV sequel, and it has a Halloween connection, actually, because the original director on the film was Dominique Othonen-Girard, who was director of Halloween 5, but he was replaced midway through the shoot. I don't think he got on with the producers, by somebody called Jorge Montese. Now, the film itself, it's kind of bland, but it's quite cheesy as well, and a bit fun, to be honest. But it's a very TV-friendly remake of the original, just replacing a little girl as the Antichrist, with a question mark beside that, because is she the Antichrist? You'll have to watch the film and find out, because they do sort of do a little twist halfway through. But overall, it was, you know, it's nothing spectacular or anything, and it does really look like it was made for TV, but it has that real dated early 90s look. I think it was made in 1991. That gives it kind of a dated charm, I suppose. And it was 50 cent well spent, I think. I don't know if anyone else has seen Omen 4 The Awakening.
Yes.
It was made for TV in the States, but I think it got theatrical release possibly over here or somewhere in Europe.
I think it did, actually, yes. I think you're right. I've not seen it, but I think I read the book. Was it The Abomination or something? It was.
Well, The Awakening is named the movie. So
maybe it's Omen 5 as The Abomination. It was Omen 6, Toya.
Oh, God.
You've really slagged her off this week, and I'm not impressed.
Oh, come on, Eric. Even you must have thought that video was funny.
That video was fantastic, and she's got great makeup, but she's got seagulls painted on her face and stuff.
Are you not impressed with him insulting her or with the level of insults that he's giving?
It's the level of insults. It's just a nonstop barrage of them. He neglected to mention that she was on Top of the Pops the other night from an episode from 1982, but she was number 21. Oh, and who was she above in the charts? Oh, that's right. Susie and the Banshees, who were stuck at number 23.
Yeah,
does Toya not have a band like Toya and the
Toya is the name of the band
or something?
Toya is the name of the band.
It's Toya and the Argonauts.
It seems to be like she's got the Banshees, you know, because like Banshees in the background. But Toya, she's just Toya. Like, it's like Madonna or
Toya apparently is the name of her band as well.
Okay. Oh, okay. So
the whole band are called Toya.
It encompasses the whole band. Okay.
It does.
But we won't mention Toya again. Or Susie. No. Perhaps.
Yeah, right.
But
never again.
So, Eric.
I think you said that in the first episode, actually, didn't you?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But anyway, we don't want to drag things down because we've still got Busta Rhymes to get to. So, yay. Eric, anything else?
Yeah, I watched the latest film by Wu Chung Lee. No, I didn't. That was Busta Rhymes. That's a Halloween Resurrection joke. No.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's paying attention. Wu Chung Lee? What?
It's not the name of the guy, the kung fu guy he's watching on telly in the movie.
Oh, I didn't know
motel.
That.
Something like that. Anyway. Anyway, I also watched a kind of forgettable big budget theatrical release from earlier this year. It was called The Darkness. It's directed by Greg McLean, who did Wolf Creek and Rogue. And it's another Insidious-style movie where this autistic boy is on vacation with his family in the sort of some kind of desert area. I think it's a Grand Canyon-type area of the U.S. And he finds some runestones in a cave in the desert, and it unleashes some Native American-type demon-y thing that follows him back to his house, and sort of supernatural events ensue. And it's all very generic, and it's all very, you know, as I said, Insidious-like. It feels like a James Wan knockoff, very much so. So it was all completely ho-hum. It has Kevin Bacon in it, and it has Radha Mitchell as the parents. You know, it's well-made, well-acted. I just was a bit bored by it. And at the same time, I watched Insidious, not the same time, obviously, but around the same time, I watched Insidious 2 again. I saw it in the cinema when it came out and thought, well, that was okay. But now rewatching it, I thought it was a bit drab as well. And in fairness, The Darkness was slightly better than it. But I'm just kind of bored with those movies.
Yeah, I couldn't finish Insidious 2.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. You guys wouldn't recommend it?
It's all right. It's okay.
It's all right. I mean, it's quite run of the mill, I find. I mean, I'm not mad on the two. I've seen the two Conjuring movies as well, and I wouldn't be pushed on them either, which is a shame because the concepts of them, it makes me think, oh, I love these. But then the execution, I'm like, oh, no.
See, I like the first Insidious, but I got about three quarters of the way through Insidious 2, and I just kind of gave up on it.
Mm.
Yeah, but I've got two words for you. Patrick Wilson.
What? Oh, that's all the tune words I probably would need.
He looks like a foot.
He does really look like a foot.
No, you got a very handsome foot. He's really cute.
Did you know that that's not his real name? His real name is Blandy Blanderson.
you know he's Eric, a pedophile. Eric, how could you? Right?
Yeah, and he sells drugs to children.
He's a pedophile. Eric.
That was you not. That was that proven in Hard Candy? I don't know if that was proven.
No, well, it means Hard Candy, is he? Yeah. It means he really is a pedophile in real life.
No.
That's slander. That's slander. Terrible.
Yeah, come on. That's allegedly. That's not even allegedly. He's not at all. So, Joseph, anyway, Joseph is no longer part of Hysteria Continues.
No, Patrick, you're gorgeous. I'm free. That's all I gotta say.
I'm free. Free falling.
Well, let's. Eric, have you got anything else you want to.
Patrick,
pardon?
To be honest.
Eric?
Sorry?
Have you got anything else to talk about?
No, that's it.
Well, I can talk about Patrick Wilson a little bit because I watched Bone Tomahawk. No. Yeah, Bone Tomahawk. Has anyone seen that? The Western horror movie?
I tried to watch it, and it feels like a Western. I don't like Westerns.
Well, I don't like Westerns either, but it turns into a horror movie in the second half, and it gets very, very gory and nasty. And there's a bit in it where they hang a naked man upside down but from his feet, and they whack him up the... on the arse and his genitals with a tomahawk. I'm not saying
really
that's a selling
brutal.
Point. I'm just saying that's kind of like it goes into a horror movie style.
It's a really brutal scene. It's kind of hard to watch.
Well, you said you only watched a little bit of it, and that was towards the end.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I just said I didn't like the... It was a Western. I don't like Westerns.
No, but he said you tried to watch it, which implied that you only watched a bit of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply I only watched a little bit. It was kind of one of those things where I was looking at my phone and half paying attention to it, but I did pay attention to the gore scenes, of course.
Yes.
And the nudie men scenes hanging upside down in a tree.
No, it wasn't like that.
No. Well, unfortunately, because I mean, Patrick Wilson, he kind of hurt his leg, didn't he, or whatever. So he kind of went a little limp, which obviously isn't a good thing. But but the film itself, I thought it was really good. I thought it was very gory, and you had God, what's his name?
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, and he has like a hot kind of whiskey kind of flask shoved in his stomach. So it was all very, very gory and nasty.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying he was kind of hot, and I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that, but
not anymore.
Maybe 30 years ago, yeah. But not now.
But I like that. Ooh. But actually, I'm going to move on because I've watched loads and loads of horror movies recently. Because Stuart decided after watching Unfriended, he thought that all social media horror movies would be fantastic. Little did he know. So we added it to Love Film, which is our kind of like video rental, DVD, Blu-ray rental thing. So we've had loads of these kind of social media horror movies coming through. And obviously, they're not all like Unfriended or The Den. So we saw, has anyone seen Smiley?
Yes, yeah.
I did see Friend Request, though.
Oh, God, was that any good? Yes, I've seen Smiley.
It's terrible.
It didn't make me smile. Made me frown.
Yes. Well, it wasn't great. Smiley wasn't great. And also, but what's Friend Request like? Have you seen it, Eric?
Yeah, I saw it. It's okay. It's like The Ring. It's like a sort of a not as effective Ring or Grudge type movie. It's basically a girl is haunted by a demonic person who sends her a friend request on Facebook that she accepts, and so she's cursed then. So,
isn't there another one called Chain Letter? I think that's a social media movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that movie sucked too.
That's terrible. That's quite old, though, isn't it? Isn't that the one where people get pulled apart outside a garage?
Yes.
Yeah. But though I saw Smiley was quite bad. It was okay, but it was kind of really dumb, wasn't it? The ending especially was very dumb. But there's also Antisocial. Have you seen Antisocial?
Yes, I saw that at the Horrorthon in Dublin a few years ago. That's one on New Year's Eve, isn't it?
It's and New Year's Eve, the zombie one, yeah, where they kind of like the Facebook or the type of Facebook spreading this kind of zombie virus around the world.
Mm.
So,
now, wait a minute, are you saying that Stuart liked Unfriended?
He loved Unfriended.
I loved Unfriended too.
I liked Unfriended as well. I thought it was great. It was really fun.
That's three against one. So
yeah, after hearing everyone saying how awful it was.
You're not confusing it with Friend Request, are you? Unfriended is the one that's all set on a desktop.
Joseph hated Unfriended. I remember this. I remember him hating it because he and I disagreed.
I thought it was really well done, and I thought I would be bored of a film that's just set on someone's desktop.
The characters are so snotty, I just couldn't stand it.
Well, that's why they got what they deserved.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, because I watched those, and then the other things. Tonight, I watched Southbound. Have you seen Southbound?
No. I want to, but I haven't. That's an anthology.
I've been meaning to catch that. I haven't seen it yet.
It's got 18. Sorry,
Justin, before you say anything else, what did you think of Antisocial?
I liked what it was trying to do, but I thought its budget limited it a little bit.
I would agree.
And there was apparently a sequel as well.
Oh, is there?
Yeah,
didn't know that.
Yeah, but it was okay, but it wasn't Unfriended, basically.
No.
But and I watched Southbound tonight, and that was kind of like a 80s anthology, except it was more like if you imagine 80s like David Lynch anthology. So nothing made any sense. A bit like is it Holidays, the one where everything's kind of like nothing kind of is concrete or set in stone. It's everything's left up in the air, and this one's very much like that. It's basically you've got like five disparate stories of different groups of people, individuals driving down a highway, and they end up in this kind of weird never world of kind of weirdness, like David Lynch kind of weirdness going on. And I quite liked it. Stuart hated it. He said it was fucking shit. So
that's damning.
Yeah,
I like his in-depth analysis there.
But exactly. And I can always tell because the iPad comes up and then it didn't come off it. And I thought, well, I thought it was okay. I kind of quite appreciated some of the weird kind of out there. There's some really good special effects and kind of oddness, but it was also you have to ask yourself whether or not that kind of the sometimes where that whole thing of David Lynch thing is it genius or is it laziness because you don't explain anything. And so there was that going on there. And then before that, waiting to stay up to drink and do the podcast, I watched The Green Inferno for the first time, the Eli Roth.
I've seen that, yeah.
Which I hadn't seen before, which I quite enjoyed. It was quite... But I do agree that it was kind of like a whole weird kind of comedy thing going through. It's like the pratfall weird things with, like, you know, a little girl, people being pulled apart and a little girl running away with a foot. And just weird stuff
like
that.
Somebody getting diarrhoea.
Yeah, someone get a diary. Yeah. It was all kind of a little bit odd. And a tarantula on a cock. It's oddness. But it was okay. But it was all preparation, obviously, like preparation H for tonight.
I've one thing to ask you though, Justin, and I've been meaning to ask you this for ages because I know it's back in August you watched this. Jaws 3D on Blu-ray you watched.
Oh yes. Well,
and
I've had a migraine.
How was the 3D?
I've had a migraine since, if I'm honest.
Really? Is it bad?
No, it's not too bad. I mean, it's okay, but it's not. It is quite blurry and not fantastic. But I think it's partly down to do with special effects because back in 1914 or something, they could make a man on the moon wink, and I said wink. And this, they had like the teeth, like Jaws's dentures coming out of the screen in like really bad, like someone had like a stick, a broom pushing them out. And it was quite obvious. I mean, I saw it back in the cinema in 1982, whenever it was, in 3D. And I remember thinking back then it was a bit rubbish, 3D. It was the 3D is not nearly as good as Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D, which I have seen properly projected on the screen in proper kind of silver whatever sort of what they call it, not the black the blue and red but the uh The
polarized lenses.
Polarized, yeah, 3D. And the 3D in Friday the 13th Part 3 is fantastic. It's such a shame, and I can't understand why no one releases it in, well, Paramount, essentially, why they weren't releasing it in 3D.
But do the 3D effects, I mean, I know they look hokey in that, but you're saying they're a bit
they
blurry.
They look quite good in the
things
whole...
don't come out of the screen, do they?
Well, no, it's quite good when there's all the, you know, people water skiing and stuff like that. It's quite good.
Yeah.
And it's quite effective. But, yeah, it's all very soft. It looks very... It's not very clear. But, yeah, it's worth seeing. But it's not a great film. I've forgotten how rubbish it was, really.
Well, I bought the Blu-ray as well, even though I don't have a 3D setup. But there is a 2D print of the film on the Blu-ray. And it's the grainiest looking Blu-ray I've ever seen in my life. It is. As you said, and the, you know, it's very soft, I suppose would be the word, but I would disagree. I think it's a great movie. But hey, I'm slowly turning into Nathan, what can I say?
No,
that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
No, well, the last thing I'll talk about very, very quickly was the Scream TV, the Halloween special, which was I thought was a lot of fun. It was like a if you've been watching the Scream TV series, without giving any spoilers, but it was kind of like 6 months or 9 months after the end of Scream Series 2, and they go off to an island, like I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and there's a history of a kind of slasher murder from the 1900s or so about a girl who supposedly killed her parents and people with shears. And so there's a murder house, and they turn up, and people start dying. And it was good fun. It was great. It was very, very I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's very 90s kind of slasher movie thing. But it was a lot of fun. And, of course, Scream, the TV series, has been renewed for another 6 episodes, I think, next year. I enjoyed it. So, yeah, it's worth a watch. Did anyone else watch it?
I really tried. I tried to watch the first season, but I'm having such a hard time getting through it. I'm getting so bored. And I heard that the second season is worth it, but it's become such a chore trying to get through that first season.
Oh, Nathan, just do it. Have a drink and do it.
I am trying.
Do it for Tennessee.
I'm really, really trying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you're trying, Nathan, but let's move on to where we're moving on to.
The main feature?
Main feature?
Well, are we going to recharge our glasses?
I've already done that. I muted my microphone and just recharged my glasses.
Oh, I was going to mute it, but I was afraid y'all might try to talk to me or something.
No, well, things I need to go down to the bar, and not that I have a bar.
Ah, for fuck's sake, could you not bring the bottle up to the computer room?
Well, no, that'd be tempting
you
fate,
said the
wouldn't
F-word.
It?
I said the F-word because I've had a drink.
You can't
I'm
take
slowly
the
turning into Inge again.
Yeah, can't take the goblin out of the boy. But, okay, yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to be playing the episode, not the episode, the trailer.
The trailer.
For Halloween Resurrection. After that, are you coming, Nathan?
I'll be coming.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Am I supposed to introduce this movie?
No, I will, don't worry.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, well, here is the more of the drunk cast, but here is the trailer for Halloween Resurrection.
Tomorrow night, you will enter the childhood home of our most brutal mass murderer.
The home has been rigged up with several cameras, but for the most part, the audience will see only what you see.
6 friends.
Are you sure they're not just putting us in some house with hidden cameras in the shower?
This is gonna be fun.
Have been offered fame and fortune.
That's the American dream.
All they need to do...
All the windows will be boarded up and all the doors will be locked shut behind them.
No one will be allowed to leave until the show is over.
You stay the night.
Let the dangertainment begin!
Now...
You think this is the one that he used to, you know, do his thing?
The webcast is live.
One flash and you can light up 1,000 computer screens.
You are like this close to getting voted off the island.
The stage is set.
Has anybody else seen this? That worked perfect.
Whoa!
It's all fake. We've been set up.
I'm only trying to give America a good show.
But the house.
Wait, what just happened? We just lost Bill's camera. There's somebody in the hall.
Is his.
Michael's here!
summer.
Somebody please help us.
Evil comes home.
Trick or treat, mother.
Want a piece of me?
Hello, Michael. I knew you'd come sooner or later. What took you so long?
The reality. Is it over?
It is over now.
No, it's not.
Nathan's dropped his drink.
Is it over yet?
I think it's over.
Okay. Here I go with my eloquent speech. The reality programmers at Dangertainment have selected Rudy, Sean Patrick Thomas, Dracula 2000, Bill, Thomas Ian Nichols, American Pie, and a group of thrill-seeking teenagers to spend one fun-filled night in the childhood home of serial killer Michael Myers. But the planned live broadcast turns deadly when Michael himself decides to crash the party. Bianca Kajlich, or something, bring it on. Kati Sackhoff, Riddick, Battlestar Galactica, Busta Rhymes, Tyra Banks, America's Next Top Model, also star with a special guest appearance by Jamie Lee Curtis. Color, 2002, 94 minutes, rated R, DTS HD, Master Audio, 5.1. That's the back of the sleeve of Halloween Resurrection. Now, there's going to be differing opinions on this, I can guarantee you that. Because it's a real train wreck of a movie. I'm the first to admit that. It gets off to the shakiest of starts, undoing the dramatic climax of H2O, where Laurie decapitated Michael Myers, and undoing it in the most ludicrous manner you can imagine, Nathan so eloquently put it on the last episode we did on Halloween. He said he would have preferred if Michael had just picked up his severed head and sewed it back on, rather than the explanation given in this movie, where Laurie had accidentally decapitated a paramedic that Michael Myers had sort of set up and superglued the mask to his head, apparently. And it's actually quite depressing, the opening scenes, to see Laurie Strode looking like Neil from the Young Ones and sort of stuck in a mental asylum. You know, after the girl power attitude she's shown through the Halloween series up to this point, to see her as this sort of pathetic mental patient, I suppose, it's kind of sad. And killing her off is one thing, but killing her off so easily is just mean-spirited, I think. But, you know, hey-ho. It's from the... Once the prologue is over, I'm sort of with the movie from there on in, which a lot of people aren't. We move to the main meat of the film, which follows a bunch of wannabe reality superstars who are doing this Big Brother-style stint in the old Myers house, which is run by Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks, two people that you normally would not see in horror movies. So from this point on, the film, just gets more and more ridiculously stupid as it goes along. Insults the intelligence of the viewer in the same way that Halloween 5 does, and it has Busta Rhymes swearing a lot and doing kung fu moves and, kung fu kicking Michael Myers, which is just cringy, to be honest. But yet it manages to entertain, or it entertains me at least. And of course it has Tyra Banks, who unfortunately is not on her way to becoming America's Next Top Actress. Sorry, Tyra. So from the outset, I mean, going into the film, I knew it was going to be no masterpiece. But I think if you can accept the silly and very dated looking concept, you know, anything that utilizes technology in this way, surveillance cameras and internet and texting, it's just going to date quite quickly. And this one has, in the 14 years since it was made. But I think if you take into consideration all the Halloween sequels, I would rate this as being on a par with Halloween 5, which is a sequel that I actually quite like. So it's one of the best of the post-Carpenter sequels, which were of post-Carpenter Halloween films, which was 1, 2, and 3. So I would consider this as on a par with 5. So that's an endorsement of sorts from me. The characters are fairly one-dimensional. They're sort of pseudo-intellectual, slightly poncy college kids. There's a chef guy who's convinced Michael Myers' diet was to blame for his evil. There's the airhead girl who just wants to be famous. I wouldn't go as far as to say as they're unlikable, but they're fairly inconsequential characters. And it's quite damning to say that Busta Rhymes has the most personality of the lot. Perhaps a little bit too much personality, as he tends to overdo things. But he is hilarious at times. I think most of it unintentionally, especially as he mumbles his way through the scenes where he's wearing the Michael Myers mask. And I know we've spoken about that before. I think, Justin, you were saying that they had to clean up his dialogue, you know, make his dialogue more legible for the DVD release, because in theatres apparently it was too muffled. Well, and of course he has his very own I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane moment when he does his classic line, trick or treat, motherfucker. The final girl, she's fairly likable, I suppose, Sarah. She's a bit bland, to be honest. I like the idea she's relying on her cyber buddy, Deckard, to help guide her to safety because he's watching on the live stream in a remote location and he can see where Michael Myers is and where she is and he can give her directions and that. I think that bit's done quite well. The mask this time around is slightly better than it was in H2O. They still haven't quite got, you know, the look right. In 1 and 2, it was perfect, and all the sequels have fucked it up to some degree. This, maybe not as much as 5, 6, and 7 did, but it's at least it's consistent, I suppose, where in H2O you had sort of 3 or 4 different looks to the mask all the way through the film. Here, he looks kind of like Sid Vicious, I thought. Maybe I'm just being, I'm probably being a bit overgenerous. When I saw this back in the day, I was able to accept its multitude of flaws, and I just enjoyed it for what it is, because I knew going in kind of the reviews it had gotten, and this actually did play theatrically over here, maybe only for a week or two in tiny little screen in the multiplex, but it did get a theatrical release, which is bizarre because looking back on it now, it looks very straight to DVD. So yeah, my generous assessment is it's on a par with Halloween 5, which is a sequel that I have a lot of time for, I would say. But it's not a film we've discussed too often on the podcast, so I'm unsure of some of the reactions to this, but I got the vibe that nobody else likes it. So, Justin, Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, Eric. Well, what? I saw this at the cinema, and I remember going to watch it because I've spoken about it before, going to see H2O, and when the music kicked in, everyone started clapping. It was a bit like with going to see one of the Alien sequels and the kind of 20th Century Fox, I think, kind of logo came up and everyone started clapping. So it was like that. Whereas with this one, it felt like it was really done by that point. It was like overcooked.
Big Mac overdone.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, but the Busta Rhymes thing was, I remember at the time, it was just like the whole cinema, I'm talking about 10 people, were laughing at Busta Rhymes. So I think it was kind of actually Stuart is kind of quite an astute critic, because he sometimes will turn over, say to me things, and I'm thinking, you know, he cuts the nub of these things, and he's basically said that this film hasn't got enough vintage. It's not old enough. It's almost too modern to be. It's still a bit naff, and it's not old enough to be really cheesy. So I think give it another 5-10 years, and this film will be rediscovered as a really cheesy, kind of crappy, funny, entertaining movie. I was actually surprised rewatching it. I thought, actually, there's bits in it that I thought were really good. They were a good germ of an idea here. It was kind of, you know, basically what they did was they kind of shoehorned My Little Eye. I'm not sure if that came out before this or around the same time.
It was also the same year. I'm not sure what time of the year, though. No. Yeah.
But the Blair Witch Project, you know, is basically they kind of decided to kind of the whole, not the Blair Witch Project obviously wasn't social media, but the found footage type thing. Mm. And they kind of shoehorned it all onto that. Given at the time when I was watching it, and I was the first 15 minutes of it, I thought were really quite well done. I thought Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, the whole thing of her pretend, you know, waiting for Michael Myers, her brother, to come back. It turns out he was living in the basement of his gothic basement, like the underground of like the Phantom of the Opera in Paris. Who knew that there hadn't, you know, the Myers house would have like this kind of gothic kind of underground. But he was living in there, and he came back to get Jamie Lee Curtis, and she was, you know, she's waiting for him. And it was quite, I thought it was all quite well done. I liked the fact that there was the serial killer obsessed patient dressed in a clown mask, which was the original mask from before the mask they settled on for Halloween. So I thought, that was quite well done. And he remember, because the way he talked about John Wayne Gacy's crimes, and then he saw Michael Myers, he talked through his crimes, all this kind of thing. I thought, this is all, watching Gaynor, when I saw it the first time, I was thinking, this is really going places, this is going to get really good. But it can't get past the fact that it's just monumentally fucking stupid. The whole movie is ridiculous. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but this idea that they set up this... They never even mention that the cameraman who gets killed in a nod to Peeping Tom, the Michael Powell movie where he kind of gets stabbed in the throat with the spear at the beginning. Nobody even mentions he's not there anymore. It's kind of, it's so careless, the film. And also this idea of a kind of a haunted mansion that they set up like a booby trap with all these things, that no one ever actually sees the Michael Myers walking around this house, and they've got all these people with headsets. No one sees it. And then you've got this kind of bizarre kind of underground warren of places underneath this kind of like 1940s sort of Americana suburban house with this idea that Michael Myers was chained to the basement. Although I know that they're pretending they were making all of that up, but But having said that, there were lots of bits in that I actually quite enjoyed. I liked the scene with the woman getting her head chopped off and rolling down the stairs. That was really well done. And actually, the idea of the people watching in a party, it going on real time, was quite well done. There were bits of it I thought were good. It's just that it felt like, especially the mask was still, it was just too white. It was too new. It's kind of... It wasn't the Michael Myers mask, and it's just this idea that every time they made a new Halloween movie, the special effects person decided they had to stamp their mark on the Michael Myers mask, and you're thinking, why? So overall, actually, I enjoyed it more this time than I thought I would. Busta Rhymes is still like a bust, really. But I think give it another 5-10 years, and it'll be comedy gold. But it still rankles a little bit. So there's my drunken tuppence.
Well, yeah, it's interesting you say that it doesn't have the vintage and the echo is back big time.
Well, we're suffering for the echo, but then maybe that's kind of your ears being drunk.
Maybe it is. I'll try and persevere through it. I'll take my headphones out and just say that you were saying about it doesn't have enough vintage, and I think that's reflected in the Scream Factory Blu-ray, which is not catered for at all well with the special features, because it just ports over all the special features from the DVD from 2002 and doesn't have any retrospectives on it or anything, because I was hoping there might be some cast and crew involvement looking back on the film and talking about its production problems, which we'd probably get into later. But no, I mean, they've gone to town with parts 1 to 7, and then part 8 is just sort of just chucked onto Blu-ray, reflecting
the... One little thing that made me, I thought was quite funny, sorry to interrupt, but it was kind of like, do you remember when they went in and they smelt the basil or the dried herbs in the kitchen and was going, wow, that smells like really fresh? It's this idea that Michael Myers has been living in this house and he's bought fresh herbs for his kitchen.
No, but I think what happens is Busta Rhymes has stocked the house to make it look like somebody...
All right, well, fair enough, yeah.
But I just find it interesting the fact that they all go into this house thinking that, we're going to find out what makes... first of all, the concept, the idea behind Dangertainment is go into the house and see if you can find out what made Michael Myers evil. I mean, that's not a hook as such. It wouldn't get me watching. But, I mean, the kids involved are monumentally stupid if they think that it hasn't all been set up. If they think that this whole thing is real. I mean, how ridiculous.
But it's supposed to be the idea that there was really like a dungeon and like tunnels under the Michael Myers house. Is that that's because Busta Rhymes wouldn't have made that, would he? I don't think.
No. But I do like, you were saying about bits of it being monumentally stupid. One stupid bit I find, actually one effective scene that turns really stupid is where we see Michael Myers prowling around the house and then another Michael Myers appears behind him. I thought that was quite well done until, one of them starts speaking and one of them is Busta Rhymes. And he's there shouting, saying, go away, you're going to ruin the illusion. But he's shouting so loud that, and it's such a small house that surely all the other contestants as such are going to hear him.
The thing that really got me was the fact is that this is like a massive thing going on, and they had all the press outside, and there was no press outside during the murders, was there?
No.
None of the neighbours saw anything. So, is I mean, it is what it is, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, happy fucking Halloween, Michael.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Nathan, I think I better get to you before you pass out, so...
Yeah, this movie is one of the biggest piles of shit I've ever seen in my life.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Coming from you.
I hate this movie so much. I hate it. Like, it's like flames on the side of my face. Like, that's how much I hate this thing.
Wow, that's like poetry.
My goodness.
I hate it. God, I hate it so bad.
Oh, this is an alternative reality.
It's torture.
It's like Stranger Things.
You do not take an iconic character like Laurie Strode and treat her like she is some secondary character to be bumped off at the beginning of this film. That is the biggest sin I've ever heard of in a horror movie in my life. I am I'm so pissed off right now just thinking about it. I'm so angry.
Is she dead,
though? Dream sequence?
Yeah. No, she's alive. I mean, it's okay, she's alive, and I'm going to tell you why she's alive, okay?
Okay.
Because I watched Wrong Turn, and in that movie... The kids climb up this like big tower in the forest, and they jump out of that tower into these trees, and they survive with minor injuries. So obviously, Laurie could easily survive that fall, which was not even as high as the one in Wrong Turn.
Yeah, but what about the stab to the stomach?
Yeah, but I mean, she's been stabbed before. That's like nothing to her. It's like, oh, you stabbed me again, big deal. You know, you've already stabbed me a few times already, but I'm fine. So yeah, I mean, she's used to that.
Hmm.
So, you know, she's alive. You know, there's no way. Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween will never die to me. I don't care what they do. I mean, if they can say that Michael Myers switched his body and got decapitated, then I can say Jamie Lee survived, and it's not that unrealistic. Not in the realm of this film.
What would happen if she'd landed on a screwdriver?
I mean, that's nothing. I mean, if she can take a butcher knife, she can take a screwdriver.
I was just thinking about Alice from Friday 13th, Part 2.
Well, I mean, she's alive, too. Yeah. They're probably roommates right now, I would imagine. They both went through something very similar. They, you know, survived a horrible traumatic experience, and then everybody in the world thinks that they're dead in one of the sequels, and they're not. So, I mean, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I'm trying to calm myself down. I'm so angry at the way that they treated her in this movie. I thought it was terrible. I felt, if I was Jamie Lee Curtis, I'd have been like, I'm not dying in the movie, or I won't come back.
But I think Jamie Lee Curtis wanted to die in this movie, though, didn't she? She wanted to be tossed in that bush.
Yeah, that's part of the background I have. We'll get into that in a little bit, but anyway.
Well, I love you, Jamie Lee, but I got to disagree with you with that. Laurie cannot die. You know, the only way I would accept Laurie dying is she and Michael went like out together. You know, like they both died at the same time or something. But I can't handle Michael finally killing her and then moving on to a bunch of vapid teenagers that are just, you know, stupid and, you know, they all got what they deserved. I don't care. Except for Busta Rhymes. For some reason, he don't get what he deserves. You know, it's okay. He can kung fu fight Michael. And that's just, you know, Michael apparently cannot handle him that well. You know, Michael Myers can't just easily murder Busta Rhymes, you know, just like the snap of your finger. He should have been able to. But not in this, like, movie, because this movie is garbage, and that's probably why, you know, because they just, like, fell asleep and, you know, like, probably sleepwalking when they wrote this thing.
Wow, I think you hate this worse than Silent Rage.
Oh, my God.
Nathan Johnson, are you telling me that you think Halloween Resurrection is a worse film than Terror at 10 Killer?
To me, yes. It's way worse. I would watch Terror at 10 Killer 10 times before I'd rewatch this once. Now, I will tell you this. I might have liked it better if I could skip the beginning with Jamie Lee and just watch it from after
that. That's the best bit.
But I will never, ever forgive it for the beginning. You guys all know how much I hate when they try to kill off a character that survived previously in a sequel. Yeah. I think that's sloppy. I think it's lazy. I think it's stupid.
And they do it all the time in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Oh, it drives me crazy in that one, too. And that's another thing. I mean, I'm not believing that either. It was all a dream. Everybody's dreaming.
I would have to agree with Nathan here, Justin. It's the first 10-15 minutes I don't like. It's the rest of the film I do kind of half like.
I kind of wish that maybe if I could go back and watch it, you know, without, because the problem is that opening scene sours me so bad on the rest of this film. And I might be being too hard on it by talking about how much I hate it, because, you know, if I could just get the opening out of my mind and just try to enjoy the rest of it, I might be able to. But, I mean, Busta Rhymes, I can't handle him in this movie either. I really can't. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. Like, oh, like, why couldn't we have just had just the teens only getting stalked and killed? I might could have handled that. I mean, I'm sorry. There's not a whole lot of good I can even say. It's, you know, I like the Myers house. That was okay, I guess, you know, that they went back there and tried to recreate the house, whoever the set designer was. I mean, good on you, I guess. Maybe your talents would be better suited to a movie that's actually worth something. This one, I don't think was, you know. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, in the open, I mean, the idea that Michael has switched with a paramedic, it just kills H2O to me, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I didn't think H2O was fantastic, but I liked it well enough. And I thought it was a good way to end, you know, like the Halloween series. You know, like you could have had, you know, her decapitating him and end it. And then if you wanted to do a reboot, you could do the remakes, which that's a whole other story. I won't get into that. But it drives me crazy that they try to give this ridiculous story after the ending to H2O, which I thought was actually kind of like, you know, an emotional moment. And now it's like, oh, that wasn't an emotional moment. That was just some paramedic that was reaching out to her. And I'm like, oh, great.
But he has family.
I know, but I mean, it wasn't emotional to Lori because Lori thought, you know, it was her brother and he was reaching out to her and she decided, okay, well, I got to kill you. And unfortunately, in this movie, it's like, oh, no, it was just some secondary character. You know, there was no emotional moment, Lori. Oh, and, you know, just so you know, Michael's kind of come back and, you know, like come after you in the opening scene. You know, no big whoop, you know, and all that jazz. You know, I can't forgive this movie for the first, 10 minutes. I can't forgive that. That is unforgivable nonsense to me. I will never watch this film again. I mean, I'll just go back and watch a good movie, which is the first Halloween, and a fun, cheesy movie, which is the second Halloween, and the fifth. The fifth is really good, too.
I don't think Halloween 2 is cheesy as such. It's a great movie.
Not cheesy like Part 5 is. But I just mean, if you compare it to Part 1, like I always thought Part 1 is a better film, but Part 2 is a more rewatchable film to me as far as like, you know, body count.
I think I would agree on that. One other thing I know that is silly about the explanation for Laurie Strode accidentally decapitating a paramedic is that Michael Myers has to sort of switch places with the paramedic, and yet he was burned horribly at the end of Halloween 2. So if he's walking around at the crime scene with his burned face, having, you know, given the mask to the paramedic, surely people would notice, no?
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, do you ever wonder how Michael Myers can even see? I mean, he's got his eyes shot out in Part 2.
Yeah, because Laurie Strode managed to shoot both his eyes out with her first ever attempt at using a revolver, we assume.
And the final girl throws oregano in his eyes, doesn't she? Or something.
Hmm?
Doesn't she throw oregano in his eyes? Doesn't she?
Who?
In this film, she throws something in his
eyes. Oh, in this film, yeah, somebody does throw.
Yeah, so it's kind of like herbs in his eyes. And I was thinking at the time that wasn't why, if he has no eyes.
It's the best self-defense method since Alice threw some string at Mrs. Voorhees in the original Friday the 13th.
I love it. I love when she throws like a little, like, you know, like, spool of yarn at her.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, what's that gonna do?
Yeah. Joseph, I know you're a huge fan of Halloween Resurrection.
Actually,
miracle.
Before we get into that, can you pause this? I've got like 48 ounces of Pilsner running through my bladder, and I really need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, bloody.
Oh, you have to do a new break.
And get a number one. Well, Eric might be shocked to hear that I'm not as vitriolic towards this film as Nathan surprisingly was. I don't think it's a good movie at all. I actually think it's a load of garbage, like Nathan does. But I consider it to be the Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning of the Halloween series, and yay. I'll tell you why. Well, for one, I think the opening scene with Laurie Strode is you know, like Nathan, I think it's very insulting, but it's also hilarious in how didactic it is with the nurses. Like, they're basically just telling the audience what happened, you know, just over explaining everything. I get a kick out of that. Mm-hmm. As annoying as Busta Rhymes is in this film, let's face it, he is very annoying, but he's nowhere near as bad as any character in either of the Rob Zombie films. So kudos to Busta for that, at least. Actually, I mean, he's annoying, okay, but he's not unlikable. It's kind of hard to explain. Like, he's not an asshole. He's just kind of, you know, over the top annoying. You know, he's not unlikable. He's just kind of bland and kind of silly, I guess you'd call it.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Joseph, but I just wanted to say I agree with you. I don't think he's like an obnoxious character, you know, so
he just doesn't fit. He just doesn't fit.
Exactly.
But anyway, I like the setup to this movie. I think it's a neat idea. It's not really executed all that well, but I like the idea of them kind of, I mean, as bad as I hate that they, quote unquote, to Nathan, killed Laurie Strode.
In a dream sequence, Nathan.
Yeah. Okay.
Green.
She's not dead. It was a dream anyway. As bad as I hate that, I kind of like the idea that they veered off to this kind of psychology student who basically kind of confronts her inner fears in this, you know, house of ghoulish horrors with cameras pointing at her, you know, around every corner. Kind of the big brother is watching you and Michael Myers is watching you. I kind of got a kick out of that. You know, like Eric said, the characters aren't, I wouldn't say unlikable or likable, kind of inconsequential, but they're not obnoxious. So I appreciated that. You know, they're basically fodder. That's all they are. They're here to get picked off by Michael Myers. And I think Brad Lurie, who plays Michael Myers in this film, I think he does, you know, he's one of the better shapes in the series, in my opinion. Obviously not a candle to the first two, but, you know, he's brooding and shadowy in the background. I think he pulls that off really well. The one scene I get a kick out of is not because it's how bad and cringe inducing it is with a Busta Rhymes, you know, talking to that mask like, get your ass in the kitchen, motherfucker. You're not supposed to be in here. what I get a kick out of is like just thinking that Michael Myers, rather than kill this guy who's just so annoying, he probably just sits there and rolls his eyes like, what am I doing here? Why am I not killing this guy? It's just so silly. I don't know. It's a terrible, terrible movie. Probably the nadir of the original Halloween, you know, series. But at the same time, it's kind of enjoyable because it's just so bad. You know, even something like Halloween 6, which was so convoluted and just tried to shoehorn so much into the plot. You know, even it really can't hold a candle to this, how silly it is. And, you know, for that, I'm going to give it a marginal recommendation. I mean, I can't recommend it as a good Halloween film. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible Halloween film. But as a dumb, I'm talking extremely dumb, you know, slasher film, it kind of kicks, hits the right marks. It's one of those I Still Know What You Did Last Summer type films where you just turn off your brain, forget that this is a Halloween film, and just kind of laugh at it. So, you know, thumbs up for me. Marginal, but thumbs up.
Yeah, I would agree when you say that it's the nadir of the sort of original run of Halloween movies, which is never really, as you know from the history continues, is not really condemning a movie as such. Because Halloween 4 for me is still the worst of the original run of movies. I'm sorry, it is. It's well made. I can see, but for me, it's deathly boring. It's deathly boring. And this film, as stupid as it is, entertains.
It's not boring. It's never boring.
No, it's not boring. It's not one I would watch regularly, but it certainly entertains. And I mean, sometimes it's unintentionally funny. I mean, anytime Busta Rhymes is on screen, he's both simultaneously annoying and entertaining. I don't know whether to enjoy his performance or hate it.
It's weird. I can't hate him. I mean, he's so annoying and he's so shoehorned into that kind of hip-hop culture, kind of, you know, appealing to that market. And he just sticks out like a sore thumb. But at the same time, I can't hate him because he's not unlikable.
Mm. Can I make a confession?
Yes.
And this is, you know, kind of shoehorning off something Joseph said.
You're a gay junkie.
His thoughts. Yeah. That is no confession. But, you know, Joseph had said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, like he didn't hate it just because it was just so bad it was good, basically. Like it was just so stupid it was good. Well, I decided to rewatch Texas Chainsaw 3D in a different mindset, and I really enjoyed it the second time around because of how stupid, unbelievably stupid it is.
I enjoyed it the first time because of how stupid it was.
I didn't the first time only because I think I was expecting more out of it because the opening scene, they did such a good job, and I don't want to, you know, take, you know, go off on a tangent away from Halloween, but I just wanted to say
that'd be so unlike us.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say it just reminded me that I did rewatch it and I loved it so much more the second time around. Could that happen with Halloween? Probably, or Halloween Resurrection? Probably not because of the Laurie Strode thing. But at least Texas Chainsaw 3D didn't, you know, gather up, you know, Sally or something and kill her off in the opening sequence like she was nothing.
One thing you were mentioning, Eric, is how, you know, you didn't really care for Halloween 4, and I don't really care for Halloween 4 either. I think 5, you know, its entertainment value is superior. But, you know, I saw one of those, I guess it was a meme online where someone had a picture of the title card of Halloween 3. It says Halloween 3, an original production. And then below it is the Halloween 4. Michael Myers is back. Are you happy now?
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah. Do we all like Halloween 3? I can't remember.
Yeah, I love it. I think it is
brilliant, to be
it's
honest.
Underrated.
I think it's really good. It's very underrated.
It's silly and outrageous, but really fun.
Yeah.
Very and it's the film where Justin pulled someone's wig off in the cinema.
He was.
Really, what? Justin?
No.
Well, it wasn't.
Actually,
you wanted
it wasn't the, that I didn't pull him off in the cinema with that one. It was Quest for Fire. Because
didn't you want to originally see Halloween 3?
Yes, I wanted to see Halloween 3 originally, but it's Quest for Fire, and I was trying to find my seat, and I pulled off a toupee.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Were you embarrassed?
Well, I was, especially as I was trying to put it back, and I think I put it on an old woman's head next to him. So it got even worse.
How long ago was this? When did
1983,
I assume.
Jesus Christ. It was terrible. I was blushing, but everything was dark. So no one could see.
Well, including your clothes, right?
Yeah.
You were goth
and lipstick.
I wouldn't have been goth back then. No, not in 83.
Oh.
No.
85. Well, you were 14. You were probably hitting puberty. That's about the right time to be a goth, isn't it?
Well, no, yeah, but I was a more innocent time back then. No, it was about 85. Oh. I went black.
Once you go black, you never go back.
Just it like C. Thomas Howell and Soul Man.
Hey.
One thing I wanted to mention about Halloween Resurrection is that I think Eric had mentioned it earlier, was the whole bit with, is it Sean Patrick Flannery? Is that his name? Or Thomas?
Thomas, is this?
Yeah. Yeah. I always laughed at that whole, where he confronts Michael Myers and he's like, you've had too much protein or something. He just thinks Michael Myers is bad because he's got a bad diet. I watched that this week and I laughed, you know, until my stomach hurt. I was like, this is just so stupid.
Well, I have a bad diet and it hasn't affected me. Wibble, wibble, wibble.
He also said that Hitler was a vegetarian, which he wasn't. So he got it wrong back then.
I thought he was a vegetarian.
No.
Or he's a pescatarian or something, I don't know.
No,
he was a vegan, like somebody else, so we know.
No, because he did the whole thing of pretending to be pure and vegetarian.
Eric,
but he ate pigeon and pig and all sorts of things, so he wasn't a
vegetarian. Eric, you know there's two vegans on this show now, right?
Yeah. Whatevs.
Yeah.
Eric, I thought Eric was a vegan, too.
I'm not a vegan, no.
He eats Kit Kats. He's not a vegan.
I eat dairy.
Vegetarian, then.
Yeah. Now, Justin,
are you vegetarian now, Eric?
Sorry?
Are you vegetarian now?
No, but I don't eat a lot of meat. I eat a lot of dairy, though.
Okay.
Particularly chocolate.
Yeah.
Justin, you are our resident America's Next Top Model fanatic.
Yeah.
So how do you assess Tyra Banks' performance in Halloween Resurrection?
Well, the thing is, unfortunately, I used to be obsessed with America's Next Top Model, but of course now RuPaul's Drag Race has taken it over.
My goodness.
Yeah, so it's kind of completely, because I used to watch it all the time, and it's like, you know, exchanging vapid models for like drag queens. There's no contest.
No contest.
Yeah. But Tyra, I think she's all right in this. It's what she needs to be.
She doesn't really do anything. She just sits in front of a monitor the whole movie. And I had a question about her. Does she die? I mean, I thought she just kind of got written out and she disappeared.
No, you do. You see her body hanging from the ceiling.
She just like Mrs. What's her name from Halloween 2 with the blood on the floor. And she's hanging above it.
There she is.
She's hanging there with, like, hanging from her neck, schmizing. It's terrible.
It's schmizing.
Yeah. Oh my God, she's totally schmizing. She's fierce.
Justin, just a quick thing, just out of curiosity, were you satisfied with the winner of this current season?
What of
RuPaul?
All Stars. No.
Yeah.
Well, me kind either. Of. I would have preferred Katya. To be honest,
me too. I liked Katya.
I liked Alaska, but the fact is they fucked it up with that tantrum. I thought Inga moment.
Yes, Eric, you should watch.
It was pure Inga, wasn't it? Inga.
It's a total Inga moment. It was so much an Inga moment and ridiculous.
It was so Inga. Have you not seen it, Eric?
No, I haven't. No, I've only ever watched. I think I watched the first three seasons.
And oh, you call yourself a homosexual?
I haven't watched it in a while.
Jesus
now. I didn't
Christ!
I liked. I don't really watch it. I had a friend. I have a friend who kind of is obsessed with it, so I've seen a few episodes. But I like the Ginger Minge.
Yeah, Ginger Minge got kicked out.
She's okay
quite early.
Too.
She can be funny. Early. You know, but me and Nathan, I think we're proper homosexuals, unlike Eric.
Yeah,
I like football.
My favorite. Justin, out of all of them, is always going to be Bianca Del Rio. I love Bianca. Yeah. She insults people so well.
Have you seen Hurricane Del Rio?
No, have you?
No, not yet.
I want to, too.
Stimulating conversation.
Let's get back to Halloween Resurrection.
Yes, back to Halloween.
So, should we go on to background?
Yes. Who has background? Nathan, fill me in with your background.
Fill you in with my background. Okay. Well, my background is a bunch of people in suits in an office said, "What's the stupidest way we can end Laurie Strode's character?" I got it. Let's just kill her off at the very beginning of the movie, you know, and insult fans of the original. That is the perfect way to get people to want to watch the rest of this shit fest. Perfect.
Wow. He is so angry this episode.
I'm mad about what they did to
Laurie. He's an angry drunk.
I'm not an angry drunk. I'm angry about this movie, but
I love
Laurie. Laurie is awesome. Can you guys agree with me that Laurie was awesome in Halloween 1 and 2?
Well, yeah,
I
love
her. Agree with that?
I love her, but I actually preferred, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis in Terror Train, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I just meant, like, did you like Laurie, you know, in general?
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Justin?
What?
Did you like Laurie Strode?
Yeah, of course I did, yeah. I mean, I thought she was...
Would you give her one?
No, but I would, I thought she was a bit weak in Halloween 2.
You would be too if you were drugged.
I'm always drugged. God. Christ, there's no excuse. Just work through it, girl.
Eric, do you know this quote? I'm so drunk.
Oh, it's from Friends.
Yeah, Phoebe.
I do have feedback. I'm not feedback. I got background.
Well, do you, really?
I got background, okay? I got real background, not just my opinion background.
You're not, Jesus, Mary Chain.
This was directed by Rick Rosenthal, who directed Halloween 2. Which, unbelievably, surprises me. Is he like a bear or something?
He is a bear. He plays the professor in the... opening in sort of the post Jamie Lee Curtis scene.
Hold on, the university.
He plays the professor.
It's the most,
and he is smoking.
It's just the most slash movie
this episode
moment in the whole film, isn't it?
Okay.
Because the whole idea, I love those ideas in slash movies where you have like a professor who tells a bored classroom basically all of the underlying. Sort of psychological defects.
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I know.
I just got to say, though, I expected more because I love Halloween 2. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when I saw that he was directing this newer one, I don't know. I guess I just thought it would be kind of more along the lines of Halloween 2.
Well, see, I think his direction's fine. It's just the script.
I mean, the direction's not bad.
The script is all over the place.
Yeah, but also you realize
there's no Rick Rosenthal shower scene either, which is
that's my compliment.
But you do realize that John Carpenter came back in and directed new scenes because it was so boring. Halloween 2, Rosenthal. He came in and
why are you dissing Rick Rosenthal now?
Well, because John Carpenter watched Halloween 2, the original cut, and said it's not scary.
You're just doing this to get at me, aren't you? This is just—it's just all about me.
I'm sorry. It's nothing. It's just like it's nothing to do with fat people directing movies. It's just kind of like
it wasn't
good.
Justin,
it wasn't good.
Justin,
it's a matter of record. For goodness sake, it's a matter of record. You know.
Anyway, Nathan, continue with your feedback, aka background.
He directed Halloween 2, which had, Michael Myers in it, and then he directed this one, which also had Michael Myers in it. So, I prefer Halloween 2 to this one, obviously.
Well, I think we all do.
That is my tuppence. Even you, because I thought that, you seem to really like this one.
To say I really like it is probably an overstatement. I mean, I appreciate
it. Eric?
Sorry?
It's your favourite movie.
It's not my favourite movie.
It's your favourite movie as well.
It is. You've got a tattoo.
Talk to me like that, you chalk-faced whore?
When do you want it? Yard.
It's better than 4 and 6. I'll say that much for it.
Okay.
Ooh, tumbleweed.
They're kind of on par for me because I'm not a huge fan of 4 at all. But part 5 is better than this one. I'll have to say that.
Yeah, probably I would say that.
This doesn't have Tina.
No. But it does have Rick Rosenthal in it.
Oh, crotch.
Bing. He directed Bad Boys as well, which has Ali Sheedy in it. And incidentally, I talk about Ali Sheedy on Meep's latest podcast, Retro Movie Podcasts.
I thought that was Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
So young, so naive.
You're a year older than I am. Shut up.
I don't have any more background, aka feedback, so I'm sorry. I apologize to fans.
Joseph, I have a big penis. Do you have any feedback?
My feedback is that I've seen your penis and it's very small.
Tell that to the men I fucked.
Oh my
God!
Eric, like that's
how much
body
have you had to drink
for you?
Oh, Eric.
Probably a bit too much, but hey,
you've let yourself down. History
say this
continues
might be our
down.
Funnerest episode ever.
Funnerest.
Don't get at me.
But anyway, I do have some background information. We were talking about Jamie Lee Curtis. Basically, she agreed to do the part, but only to make sure her character, Laurie Strode, or herself, in quotations, wouldn't appear in another sequel. At the time of the film's initial release, executive producers Malik Akkad and Mustafa Akkad tried to explain it by claiming that Jamie Lee Curtis was so impressed with the screenplay that she wanted a large part in it.
Makes me laugh.
Yeah, she publicly stated that that was not the case, but she was only under contract to do it, and she just wanted to kill her character off so she could be done with it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just kind of curious. Did she basically want her character to be killed off, or did she just say she wanted to be done with the series?
Both. I mean, she wanted to kill her character off so there was no way that she could come back. If they can bring Michael back, they can bring her back. But, it's more along the lines of, hey, I don't want to do any more Halloween movies.
I got
commercials to do or whatever.
If I recall correctly from the H2O episode last year, I think she was contractually obliged to do a sequel if they wanted to do one. So,
yeah, but it was only one. She only had like one left on her contract. So, it's like not a full length. I think it's just like, a cameo role.
Curse those filthy contracts.
As sad as it is, I mean, she's really good in the opening scene. It's just it's just kind of an unfitting way for her to go out.
I just don't like her hair.
Yeah, it's kind of...
At least it's not a wig.
True.
Anyway, let's see. Several endings were written during production, and the cast was never sure how the film was actually going to end. I think it was 4 different endings were filmed. And Rick Rosenthal wanted the studio to ship a different ending. He wanted the studio to ship a different ending to each theater, a technique that was used before during the theatrical release of Clue from 1985. However, the studio disagreed, and the endings now appear on the DVD and the internet. You can probably find those online somewhere. Actor Kyle Levine, who appears as a party goer in the film, also starred as
playing in the background.
What?
What did you say, Justin?
What's playing in the background?
Nothing.
I don't hear anything.
I don't hear anything either.
He's drunk.
Oh my God! You're hearing no, music. Hear,
it's
or
like
voice.
It's kind of like whale sounds.
Quit eating your liquor-soaked olives.
It might have been a passing car. I have a lot of traffic. I didn't hear anything.
What the fuck?
I don't hear any whales soon.
I live in the city, so it's probably a lot of traffic. Anyway.
Yeah, the city.
I don't hear any whale sounds. Oh, Jesus, Justin. What have you been drinking?
I don't know. Something
North dirty martinis.
No, there's some kind of weird thing going on. Oh.
What?
I don't know.
Whale sounds? Seriously, Justin?
Hold on. What a train. No, there's some weird thing going on in the background. You may not hear this. It's some kind of like weird 90s infomercial.
Oh, God, I know what he's doing.
Oh.
What? What's he doing?
He really fooled me.
What's he doing? What's he doing, Joseph? Explain.
All I can hear is someone saying a constant bombardment of nonsense. I don't know what it is. Can you hear it?
He's about to play Toya.
I'm trying to find out where it's coming from.
Oh, my God, are you?
If you dare to insinuate Toya is...
Hold on. No.
I'll kill you.
I'm gonna shut some things down, because God knows where it's coming from. Hold on. Could it be iTunes?
He's drunk.
Hold on.
It's
gone now.
He's pulling you off.
No, but iTunes is gone.
Pulling?
Where the fuck that came from? I don't know. It's gone to some like weird 90s infomercial, and it's going constant bombardment of denial.
Are you actually being serious?
Yeah, no, I was. I don't know if it recorded, but sorry. I do apologize.
This is the craziest episode ever.
You're the drunkest gaylord I know.
Anyway, let me try this again.
Let's try that again, yeah.
Actor Kyle Levine, who appears as a partygoer in the film, also starred as Bill Freeberg in Freddy vs. Jason. So this technically makes him the first person ever to appear in a Michael, Jason, and Freddy film. Although Jason and Freddy film was one film, but anyway. And that's all the background I actually have on the film.
Okay, Justin, I've got an amazing set of buttocks. Do you have any feedback for us?
It's not what I've heard.
What?
I've heard they're like a couple of wobbly blancs.
Well, you've seen him in person.
Don't you dare compare my buttocks to blancs.
Well, apparently
you've seen him in person, Justin.
I have seen
him. He couldn't keep his hands off my buttocks. I had to call the police.
I had to go.
I still don't believe he heard anything. I think he was trying to set up a Toya joke, or he's just drunk.
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, okay, anyway, talking about some of the cast, Ryan Merriman, who played Miles Deckard, he's best known for portraying Jake in Ring 2, a.k.a. that's Ring. Eric's nickname. Kevin Fisher in Final Destination 3. Katie Sackhoff, who played the Jennifer, Jen Danzig, who could look a little bit like Brittany Murphy, I thought.
Yeah, I kind of wanted her to sack me off a little bit.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Which character was she? How did she die in the film?
She was the blonde. She got the blonde
fame seeker.
Oh, yeah. I thought she looked a bit like Tori Spelling, to be honest.
She looked a bit like Brittany Murphy to me, who was obviously in Cherry Falls. But she went on to be in Oculus, the relatively new Haunted Mirror movie.
All right, yeah.
Apart from that, I have got loads of stuff, but it's all kind of stuff that I think Joseph's already said. So, Eric,
okay,
what have you got for us?
I have some stuff. Okay, it was shot in Vancouver, which makes it a Canadian production, which ties into something we did earlier today, which I can't mention. It was shot in Vancouver in 2001. Originally, Miramax wanted a mirrorless sequel, but Trancas International convinced them that this would not work. Citing the failure of Halloween 3 as an example. A director called Whitney Rancic, who is actually a man, not a woman, was meant to direct but was fired from the project close to the start of filming. He went on to work mostly in TV, working on Justin's favorite TV show, Supernatural. Justin does not like this TV show for its content, but for other reasons. He also went on to direct for Smallville and Tremors. You do like it for other reasons, Justin, don't you deny it?
What kind of ooh yes does...
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Sorry. I heard ooh, but not ooh, yes.
Yeah, I didn't hear the yes. Sorry. Sorry, Justin. I apologize.
Jensen Ackles. Like, yeah. Yum.
And the other, do you like both of them, don't you? Or is it just Jensen Ackles?
A filling of a sandwich, I could say, but yes.
I think that Jensen's like the more attractive, if I'm being honest. I wouldn't kick either one of them out of bed, but Jensen's like the better, you know, looking one, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I want to be sandwiched by Rick Rosenthal and somebody else, fat and hairy from the Halloween series that I can't think of right now.
Well, you might like
you would be squashed like a pita bread, though, wouldn't you? With that,
Eric might like the guy in Supernatural who plays the dad. I think he's the dad character. He's also in Harper's Island.
What did you say, Justin?
He's a big hairy guy.
You squashed like a pita bread if you start between those two fatties.
I want to be a. Okay, as I mentioned in the podcast last year for when we did H2O, they had the whole it wasn't Michael Myers, but it was actually some dazed-infused paramedic twist. It was actually devised while they were filming H2O as a get-out clause if they decided they wanted to make a sequel. As Mustafa Akkad had told them that they couldn't kill off his prime asset because, of course, you know, the Akkad family were relying on Michael Myers for their income. It was shot under the title Halloween The Homecoming, and there was actually a work print under that title circulating on the internet prior to the release of Halloween Resurrection, and I had a copy of it on a VCD, which was a very ancient format, which was CD-based back in the day, but I couldn't put my hands on it. You are a missus. I couldn't find it, for the recording of this podcast. But apparently it was fairly close to the final cut, apart from the opening sequence, which was it featured some Super 8 footage of a young Michael Myers with his family at a family barbecue. The original concept, and this you might want to close your ears for this, Nathan, but the original concept for the Laurie Strode character was that she was so stricken with grief and remorse over what she did to the poor paramedic that she was supposed to commit suicide.
Oh,
sorry about that. But fortunately,
I could have even handled that better than what they did, because at least then she's going out on her own terms.
Yeah. As Joseph was saying, that Rick Rosenthal wanted to release the film with four different endings to give the film a kind of gimmick and then sort of have it randomly circulate with four different endings so that people going into the cinema wouldn't know what ending they were going to get, which I think would have been quite a good gimmick to do. And I'm not surprised more people haven't, you know, jumped on that bandwagon. One of the alternate endings that Joseph was mentioning that are all available on the DVD and Blu-ray, one of them has Deckard arrives and saves her from the burning building, and Busta Rhymes dies in the end. You'll be glad to hear, Nathan. Another one has the crime scene investigator there's a female crime scene investigator that looks, sorry, I'm very drunk now and I'm slurring my words. She looks down a manhole, you were, and
like Myers, you, Eric, appears.
Oh my god, down a manhole.
So, sometimes I look up them either as well.
I bet you do.
When they're sitting on my face. So there's this female crime scene investigator, and this is the way the work print version of Halloween The Homecoming ends, is that this crime scene investigator looks down a manhole and Michael Myers appears from the steam and grabs her. There's another alternate ending where Busta Rhymes says his famous, "You're looking like some crispy fried motherfucker there, Michael Myers." And Michael Myers grabs him by the throat, and Sarah then grabs an axe from the fire truck and sticks it in his head. The film was originally scheduled to be released on September 21st, 2001, but Miramax wanted to make it a bit more intense and insisted on some reshoots, so it was bumped back to the summer of 2002. The Kung Fu character that Busta Rhymes mentioned so often, Wat Chung Lee, was completely made up, improvised by Busta Rhymes, unbeknownst to Rick Rosenthal, who assumed it was some established Kung Fu artist. The budget of the film was $13 million, and it made a pretty decent $37 million at the box office, which was a pretty nice profit for the filmmakers, considering it ended up looking like a directed DVD movie, as I said. And that is all the background I think I have for the film for now. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so overall, in a couple of words, just your final thoughts on the film.
I think the film is underappreciated. I think people might want to reassess it after seeing the two Rob Zombie abominations that followed. It's light years ahead of both Rob Zombie's Halloween and Halloween 2. It's not a great film, but I think it has cheesy charm. And as Justin's other half said, I think in 10 years' time, people will probably look back on it as a cheesy classic.
I would agree with that.
Not a classic, but a cheesy film. That's
I would agree exactly with what you said, just to add that it's just so bad it's good. Justin?
It's saying it's probably in 10 years' time, I think we'd probably reevaluate it as a fun film. But I for some reason, I thought it was older than it was, but it's not actually that old, is it? But it's kind of...
Well, 14 years is quite 14 old.
14 years. Yeah. It's not that old. It's not
well,
like...
15 well, 15 if you count when I think back, so.
When I think back to... If you think back to 1995, that was my second year of university, and... Yeah. That would have been the same distance between then and 1981, which is the golden era of the slasher movie. Happy Birthday to Me, Friday the 13th, Part 2,
yeah.
My Bloody Valentine. It's the same time span. So 14 years is quite long.
But it's not. It just hasn't got quite that vintage yet, I don't think.
No, it doesn't.
So, I think when it comes to it, I think we can look past it. I think there's enough in there to find entertaining. And if you can look past the annoyances of Busta Rhymes and all that shit, then I think in
you sound so street there.
Yeah, thank you. But in 5
you're
10
like
years
Honey
time,
G.
Like Ali G.
Honey
fuck
G,
you whore. It's kind of like it will be probably quite good fun. So you know, who knows?
Nathan, are you still awake?
No, I'm awake.
Oh, here we go. Come on. The cutting.
Sum up your feelings on Halloween Resurrection.
Okay. You tried to kill Laurie Strode off? Fuck you. That's my feeling.
Oh, my God. He swore. He actually
fuck you
war.
Too, you whore.
The only time I will swear is when I'm very, very feeling strongly about something. And I had to say the F word because I feel very strongly about how much I care about Laurie.
He's the Rob Zombie
friend of mine, and then they tried to kill her.
He's the Rob Zombie of
the podcast.
Totally, he's the Rob Zombie of the podcast. You're like Laurie Strode in the Halloween remake.
Yeah.
Oh God, don't call me that. That's like the worst insult ever. How dare you? If you were here right now, I would throw my glass of Cabernet on you.
Oh. Put it in my mouth.
Throw it in your mouth.
Oh my God.
Justin, please. This is a family show.
Justin, I'm not that kind of doctor.
There are
the wine.
I'll
talk
to
about
show.
The wine, for Christ's sake.
Won't somebody think of the children?
Think of all the young children listening to this episode.
Oh God, this is the best episode ever.
Yeah. Okay,
sorry,
what's next?
Sorry, Nathan. Okay.
Me? What? Huh?
I'll tell you what's next.
Make something up.
Quick. Halloween, pumpkin, Jamie Lee
pumpkin,
Curtis,
bad poem. Busta Rhymes.
Who's the best poet in Halloween Resurrection?
Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, that's right.
I got it.
Have you got your tongue out? And remember, you can bounce your balls at the same time tonight.
I like your joke.
Thank you.
Even if you were kind of mean to me in this podcast.
I wasn't bad for being on the fly.
You said you whore.
Well, I always say whore.
That's kind of a compliment, though.
It's my catchphrase.
I like being called a whore. It means I'm somewhat attractive. Yay.
You like to be slapped around, I'm sure.
Well, a little bit.
So.
So, Justin.
So, let's kind of like, let's, how to get in touch with the show. Hold on.
You can see what the trouble is, can't you?
That's not how you get in touch with the show.
No, Joseph will tell us. He's got a Halloween music one.
Hold on.
Oh, Justin.
It took me a long time to get all that in there.
That's not
the contact information.
Hold on, give me a chance, Christ.
Will you press the right fucking button?
You just, he raised his voice.
Listen to The Mystery Continues on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on YouTube. Yes, you can email us directly at thehysteriacontinues@gmail.com. Keyword, The Hysteria Continues.
You know what? Joseph, when he does that, he sounds like he's in one of those like 900 channel like late night ads. It's like call us now.
That's what I was going for. It's my sexy recording.
Call us now. Only $99 per minute.
I'm still laughing because Justin raised his voice. That's just great.
Well, yeah. We were kind of ragging on him, so I kind of understand why he had to raise his voice.
What's the boy supposed
okay,
to do?
Okay, feedback. Who wants to go first?
Oh, I don't have any.
I have one.
Eric, okay. go first.
Okay.
This one is from somebody called Ara Alishan. I've never heard of him. Have you?
Me either.
No.
Who's that?
Never heard of Ara Alishan. Ara Alishan. What on earth is Ara Alishan?
Yeah.
Never heard of Michael.
Apparently he has a brother called Michael. He says, hello again, gentlemen. It's been ages since I provided proper listener feedback, Facebook comments notwithstanding, but I recently watched a new release called Fender Bender and felt compelled to write in and give you some love to the folks over at Scream Factory who provided a much-needed boost to the slasher genre. Fender Bender is full of modern tropes that scream 2016, yet it manages to feel like a fun throwback, especially the retro VHS cut, which I hope becomes a regular staple of Scream Factory releases. This is not a flawless film by any means, but if you're a fan of the genre, it's worth watching and judging for yourself. What?
You just said flawless film.
Did I?
You also said film instead of film.
Yeah, film, Eric. No.
In fairness, Christ. Film is a common Irish mispronunciation of film.
Oh, okay.
In fairness to myself, because I am Irish. Personally, I'm glad I gave it a chance and will proudly place it on my shelf among the slashers of yesteryear. On the non-slasher front, I would also love to hear your thoughts on Don't Breathe. This was far and away my favorite horror movie of 2016, and unlike Fender Bender, which I stumbled onto without any expectations, I'd been anticipating Fede Alvarez's next project since his remake of The Evil Dead, and it somehow still managed to blow me away. I'm hoping for some I know. He said blow me away.
Oh.
I'm hoping for more collaborations from Alvarez and Jane Levy down the road. Moving on, I'm uncertain when you're recording the Child's Play 1 and 2 episodes, which will probably be in 2018 by this,
who knows
the rate we're going.
That'll be
when, but I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on one of my listener picks. Let the record show that this is the first of my picks selected for the show. I just thought I'd show that out there before my...
Oh,
I'm too
Christ.
Drunk. I can't cope with this email.
Come on, Eric.
I just thought I'd show that out there before my fellow.
Oh no!
This sentence doesn't make sense.
Oh my goodness! Come on, Eric. Persevere.
I can't cope.
You can do it.
He's gonna cry.
We believe in you.
I just thought I'd throw that out there before my fellow listeners lynch me up for my brother's sins, in brackets, Bloodhook, Boogeyman, and Hollywood's New Blood. Well, I think Boogeyman is
not a sin. Boogeyman's not a sin.
Yeah, but Bloodhook and Hollywood's New Blood bloody well are.
Yeah. I thought fucking right.
I thought Boogeyman was a sin, but that's
no, really... And Bloodhook's not a sin. Now Hollywood's New Blood might have been. Bloodhook was so good.
Yeah, whatever. Dude. What can I say? There's one in every family. I'll cut him a break, though. He picked Alien, Suspiria, and the Terminator as well, so I suppose it balances out. That's all
not
for now.
Really.
That's all for now. The slightly less pesky Alishan brother, Ara. My God, that was really tough to get through.
Well done.
So you asked what our thoughts are on Don't Breathe, which I have not seen.
I've not seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either. No.
You saw it?
Yeah, Nathan. It was good. And I think that, here's the thing, though. It's getting a lot of great reviews, so I'm afraid too many people are going to watch it and think, they're going to expect a lot out of it. When really, I just thought it was just a fun time waster. It's not anything, it's not going to blow your mind or anything. It's not going to make you blow your mind.
Your load.
Your mind.
Oh, no,
it's not going to make
Nathan.
You blow your mind.
Christ.
It's not going to make you do that either, okay?
Mark Kermode is a very famous film critic from the UK who has a film show every Friday on BBC Radio 5, and he was saying that halfway through the film it turns into a kind of a torture porn movie. Is that correct?
It's not like you're watching a Saw movie. I wouldn't apply torture porn to it. There might be a little bit of torture, but it's mostly like a cat and mouse, stalking kind of film, for the most part. So, I don't want you guys to think it's like cat and mouse for the first 45 minutes and the last 45 minutes is somebody chained up being tortured for till the end of the movie. It's not like that.
Well, it's one I'm interested in seeing. I haven't been to the cinema now since probably April, I think it was the last time I was in the cinema. I live so far away from the local multiplex, I call it, that I haven't been to the cinema in so long. But it's one I'll definitely catch when it comes out on Blu-ray or DVD or other means.
Oh.
What? iTunes, What do you think I meant?
I thought you meant downloading it.
Yeah. On iTunes.
Oh. Well, okay. Right.
Like paying legitimately for it, for $3.99 for a 48-hour rental.
You're too legit.
How dare you insinuate... Anyway, that I am do piracy and all that.
He is too legit. Too legit.
Too legit. Quit. I know.
Yeah. Hey.
He's too shy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm shy to eye. And Child's Play 1 and 2 is our next episode, I think.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, it was going to be this episode, but we had to get the Halloween episode in, so it'll be next time. Yeah.
Had to get it out of the way.
Well, because we've had to shoehorn in a big one, haven't we, Eric? We've had the commentary. Yeah.
We've had a commentary for a big title that we've covered on the podcast.
We can't announce that yet, can we?
No, I don't think we can. No. But it's like possibly all I can say is probably one of the biggest slasher movie titles that you can imagine.
I thought the actual recording session went very well this morning.
Yes.
I had a lot of fun.
Considering it was 2 hours long.
And I was wearing pants for it, which I'm not doing now.
Eric.
Gosh.
But it's too warm in here.
It's not warm. It's fucking October. Jesus Christ. What? Have you got the heat?
Oh, my God. Justin.
And this is a video podcast.
Yeah. You want to switch? I can switch the video on if you want to see me naked.
It's okay.
You want me to switch it on? Because I can do it.
Well, thanks for listening.
We've already seen you naked, Eric.
Well, exactly. One of the listeners is saying they could see like an angry clam.
Why don't we just post the pictures that Eric sent us?
Don't you dare. They're for your private use at night time.
That's your private use.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I have some feedback if we want to move on.
Yes. Thank you. I think we should before anyone takes a screen snap of that that button mushroom and a ginger toupee.
Okay, this one says, "Hello, gentlemen. Oh my God, Eric. Oh no, no, Eric, what? Stop. Do you not see this?
No. What's he doing?
Oh my God,
it's a video."
It was a video.
He's naked. He's topless, and he's making vagina-licking motions.
Yeah, he's doing, vagina lips.
I think he's crashed my video. I can't see anything.
God. Where? God,
I have that effect on the internet.
I missed all of that.
I'm shocked an apple.
Okay, Justin, if you missed out,
I missed all of that.
Oh, no.
All I can see is... Oh, my God.
I see Eric's face.
Oh, What's that? Oh,
my God.
No. No, don't go down nipple. South. No, not his nipple. No. Christ. Thank you.
My God.
I keep on saying, it's like.
You did dare me to drink tonight, and this is the consequences. It's your own fault.
And what's funny is at the beginning of the episode, Eric said, I'm probably not going to have that much to drink tonight. Now he probably.
As the episode goes on.
Yeah.
The alcohol kicks in.
Well, yeah, all I can say is, Justin. Thankfully, there's no happy finish.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Sorry. Anyway. Yeah.
You got feedback, don't you, Joseph? Yeah.
All I saw was Eric's tongue suddenly poked out the screen at me. It was terrifying.
He had his two fingers up, and he was putting his his tongue between the two fingers.
I know.
Like he's going down on a girl.
Yep. Exactly. And I can't imagine Eric knows anything about that.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
So do you think
I do, Eric.
I bet you do, Joseph. Do you think we're living up to Drunkcast?
I think we kind of are.
The first 20 oh no, he's doing it again.
Oh, Eric.
Oh no, not again. Eric. I can see Joseph's face.
Oh, yeah, but I see Eric putting his finger in his mouth and sucking on it.
But can I just remind you, we're at 2 hours and 5 minutes.
I wonder if fans will like this.
He's sucking his fingers. He's filleting his fingers right now.
I can't see any of this. Eric. All I can see, suddenly Eric's visage pops out and it's gone again now. But anyway, I think, Eric, can you put it away and let Joseph carry
on?
Well, I was going to say the first 20 minutes, I thought, you know, maybe we'd have a sip, but my God, this has turned into a nightmare.
I'm actually having fun because I need
to drink,
so it's kind of fun to me.
It's quite fun. It's quite fun. But
let me read this feedback.
I'm just glad I've got work tomorrow. Jesus Christ! It's kind of like
I don't have to work tomorrow.
No, I don't either.
I have to work till midnight tomorrow.
Oh my God! Anyway, this feedback says, "Hello, gentlemen. Just a fan here that wanted to drop by and say that I absolutely adore your show. It's inspired me to go back to childhood and revisit some old classics and some not-so-classics. Thanks, Nathan. Aside from that, I was wondering if you could be so kind as to review a very low-budget short slasher film that I'll be making very soon called Helldresser, about a hairstylist gone insane, like Sweeney Todd meets Friday the 13th. It would
Nathan
be very...
make a movie like that.
Hairdresser Massacre.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, it would be very much appreciated to hear your opinions and any constructive criticism. On a final note, Susie is superior to the ancient mummy that Eric likes. Thank you again.
Yay!
He says, thank you again, Aloysius. I don't know what his name is, but I'm guessing after that snipe at Eric, Eric's not going to watch your movie.
But why would you call Toya a mummy?
Why? She's not a mummy. She doesn't have any children.
She's an ancient crone. I guess. I don't know.
Wait, she's kind of like a desiccated husk. I imagine that's fair enough.
Like a corn husk?
Well, kind of.
A corn?
But something you find in a cemetery. Oh, my God. No.
Put stop.
My, oh, my God. It's like seeing...
Eric is literally topless and he's rubbing his nipples.
Eric.
I'm telling you, we're not making this up. This is actually happening.
It's like nipples in a pulsating cornfield.
Oof. Eric, you got a tattoo? I didn't know you
had a tattoo. Yeah, Eric's got a tattoo.
I have two
on his
tattoos.
Arm.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you suddenly pop up on my screen like you kind of.
Oh, no, Eric just showed his
video.
Penis.
I did not show you my penis.
Yes, you did.
Don't be lying, I did not.
No, he didn't. You want me to see it on the webcam?
Hey, you would. I'm telling you, you would.
Shh, don't encourage him, Justin.
Justin, do you have tattoos?
No.
So you're the only one in this podcast that doesn't have tattoos.
No, pure as driven snow. I've never kissed a girl, and I've never had a drink or smoked a cigarette.
You've never kissed a girl in your life. Never. You have.
Well, I have actually. Yes.
Because even I've done that.
What's it, Susie?
No, what's it, Susie?
Eric, have you ever snogged with a girl?
No.
No.
I have.
Well, I like bears, which are the polar opposite of girls.
So
you
I have
were
too.
You were never you were never closeted. You were just always bear.
I was always about the bears. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, who's got more feedback?
I've got more feedback.
I don't have
any
feedback. Okay. Did you finish yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He just basically wanted us to review his movie, and then he slagged off Eric.
Yeah, which means I'm not going to watch his movie.
Anyway, if you want to send your short film in to us, we'll take a look at it and give you
our opinion. I like hairdresser movies. I hope scissors go into somebody's head, because that's so cool.
I hope there's a shoe rack.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, well, I hope everybody will beat
is
my
Hazel Tankersley in it?
She's the only hairdresser, her and her sister.
Yeah.
Justin, do you have feedback?
I do. I'm trying to get onto it. Jesus Christ, stop interrupting me, Nathan.
Fine, get off on it. Onto it.
I was only doing that to wind you up.
Back. Oh.
Who's back?
Eric, look at the
trying to do your feedback now, Justin.
I missed it. Oh no. Oh.
Oh my God.
It's like Busty Morgan. Eric. It's like no.
He's
like
got a nice Blu-ray collection back there.
It's like Chesty Morgan crossed with Grizzly.
It's Grizzly Adams and Chesty Morgan.
You want to know the sad thing? The sad thing is I'm probably hairier than Eric.
That's probably true.
How could you possibly be hairier than Eric? Because that's kind of like... you could like backcomb that and make the Eiffel Tower.
I'm full of the testosterone, baby.
Wonder if everybody will be sitting listening to this thinking, I wonder what exactly they're seeing.
You should never get me to drink while I'm on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Never. It's going to be a 5-hour show. Come on, let me get on to this next feedback.
The first and last drunk cast.
Probably. Well, maybe. We'll see what the reviews are like if anyone listens to it.
The fans, what they think.
Let me get on with it. Okay, I'm ready. Okay, hey guys. I recently discovered your podcast through the Dread Central article, so you gained at least one listener. Probably lost a few this time, but I'm hooked. I was looking for a podcast to listen to at the gym, and yours has fit the bill. I've been listening for a month or so, but I've already cranked through 30 or so episodes. Sorry, Eric, I'm decidedly less Bob Hoskins-y due to all the extra working that I've been doing. So not one for you, Eric, I'm afraid.
No.
I'm excited to hear you'll be covering Child's Play. There is a neat little 90s subgenre of small killers, such as Leprechaun, Child's Play, Puppet Master Inga, Ginger Dead Man.
Inga?
No, I'll put that in. Really gotten to. Granted, it's not exactly the best material, but it'd be fun to listen to nonetheless. As far a listener pick, I'd love to hear you cover Drive-In Massacre. A lot of people hate this movie, 2.9 on IMDb, but I think it's fantastic. My crystal ball, tells me Nathan likes it too. For 1976, I thought the beheadings were great. The acting was par, at least. The score had a synthy feel that seems very 80s. I wish I had a final girl instead of a couple of fat middle-aged final men, but otherwise, I love it. I imagine, do you love a couple of fat middle-aged men, Eric?
Which movie? I'm sorry.
Drive-In Massacre.
Drive-In Massacre.
Oh, it's great. Okay, yeah, I do love it. Okay, Justin, sorry.
Well, also, because I did do a retrospective through 88 films of Drive-In Massacre, so if you want to see that, me talking about that film. I'm sure we'll get around to it at some point, because I imagine, Nathan would love that movie.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
You've not seen it? Okay.
Well, you've got middle-aged men as the final girls. Yeah.
Exactly. I think you'd be straight on that, wouldn't you? I can imagine. If you go down to HMV and splash out on it. Carries on. So I know you have a ton of picks to get to, but I thought you could cover that before my 50th birthday in 2035, if it would mean a lot. Keep up the great work, Kevin. P.S. Nathan will be jealous. I saw Criminally Insane in theatres this summer. Got to love the Alamo Draft House here in Austin. Judging by how much I ate during the movie, I expect Crazy Fat Kevin might be a movie soon. So that's Kevin. Oh, thank you. As new listener.
I love Criminally Insane.
Yeah, and Kevin, the new listener.
Sorry. Thank you, Kevin.
All there.
Thank you, Kevin. And sorry, this may be the last episode he listens to.
Yeah.
Well, I think that may go through all of this. Well, I can't believe
to be fair,
that
we teased this for years. It had to happen eventually.
It did. Yeah. It did.
But I'm glad it finally did happen, to be honest, because we talked about it long enough.
Yeah. Well, do you think we will ever get to the Rob Zombie Halloween movies or no?
Only if we're drunk. Again.
Joseph says no, but
Can we drink on it?
Like
we
I think we'll week? Have to.
If we can drink, if we can make it a drunk cast, I'll do it. Otherwise, I won't do it.
Well, how about we do it for the next couple of years? We do a drunk cast every Halloween.
Yeah. There you go. It'll a drunk fit cast every Halloween. If
the feedback is good.
Yeah. If the feedback is good, yeah.
Yeah. Can I just warn you? Can I just warn you though that I bought the Scream Factory Halloween box set and rewatched Rob Zombie's two Halloween movies, and they were even worse than I remembered. So.
Well, exactly. What's good for the drunk cast, because then like we can rant. Like Nathan was ranting, wasn't he?
Nathan.
You were like full of rage.
Yeah, I mean, you want to hear some really real ranting drunk cast version? Then we'll just do the Halloween Rob Zombie versions, and you'll really hear it from me.
Well, exactly.
I'm so drunk.
Are you drunk? How many drinks have you had, Joseph?
Well, I had four beers, which is 48 ounces, and that's lot. You know, two is pushing it for me, but I had four, so
I'm not drunk at all. Totally not. I'm sober.
Sober.
I'm totally sober.
Sober.
You're so bare. Ooh.
I'm so bare right now.
Eric, how much you had to drink?
Obviously a lot.
I've had about a quarter of a bottle of vodka.
God damn.
My goodness.
God, I'd be unconscious.
Is that all?
Yeah, I'm not going to be in the best of form going into work tomorrow morning, but hey-ho.
But it's okay. You've just got to go on and sort of pronounce things, haven't you?
Well, fortunately, somebody is training in with me tomorrow, so they'll be doing all the talking.
Eric, I got a question for you. You don't do this on your radio show, do you?
I don't have a radio show as such. I'm a continuity announcer. So,
well, you don't announce your nipples on the radio, do you?
No, I don't. No, there's no webcams in the studio, thankfully.
Maybe I should try to get you fired and send the video to your boss.
You didn't record the video.
Yeah, I did.
There you go.
Eric, did you just say you're a continuity announcer?
Yes, I did, Justin. Ha 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 ha. But if you must know, the 3 days before my interview for my current job position, I twerked my boss in a drunken fit in a bar in Dublin.
Yeah.
And he slapped my arse as I was twerking him.
Yeah.
Because we were both really drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. And what happened?
There you go.
And sorry, you're what happened? Married.
I got the job. I was interviewed 3 days later and I got the job.
Is that kind of like a casting couch type thing?
It kind of is. Kind of is.
Well, that's
there we go.
Terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess before we wrap this up, I should probably finish go to the next round of the game that I did on the last time.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Did anyone guess it?
I guess the few people who played are waiting on pins and needles to see if they guessed right. And the answer is, no one has guessed correctly yet. Some close guesses, but no one's guessed it yet. So I have three more clues for you.
Okay.
And the first clue is, one of the director's previous films features a scene you can't look away from, like a train wreck. Clue number two is, the killer is played by a lean actor. And the third and final clue is a keyword clue, and that is wheelchair. So there's your three new clues, and hopefully someone will get it this time.
Is it the same movie?
Yes, same movie.
Oh, okay. I won't say it then, because I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's because you've already had the answer, Nathan.
Oh, okay. Well, I felt smart for a minute.
No, because we already know what the answer is. I think, don't we?
Yeah, it's Pearl Harbor, isn't it?
Isn't it Beaches?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Beaches.
It is. It's Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. What spoiled?
Oh, Eric, as Eric every Friday night, pearl necklace.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness! I know what that means. Don't think I can't read between those lines.
There's not many lines to read between. So next time on The History Continues, we are back with a pint-sized killer, aren't we? Finally, I believe.
And we'll be sober.
I'll be sober.
It's been a long time coming, like Eric. And we'll be finally...
That's because I'm an excellent lover.
Is it?
I honestly did not think it was going to get this bizarre. Seriously, I didn't.
Well,
but I'll tell you what's really bizarre. I didn't press the record button. I did, really. But so, do you want? What are we playing out? What are we playing out with, Eric?
Well, if you play out with what I suggested, it is
the
wonderful, wonderful new romantic band Japan, and they had a song called Halloween from their album Quiet Life.
Yeah,
and I've done, I've inserted some, some dialogue from Busta Rhymes and Nathan Johnson at the start of the track, and then you're free to do whatever you want after that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we might have a little.
I'm sure you've got some Susie or Creatures-esque type of music you want to put in after it.
Well, I think I've probably done that before, haven't I?
But you used Halloween by Susie and the Banshees last year, and I used it in the intro to this podcast. So
okay, well, I'll leave it with that. But I'm sure there was something that I was going to stick in, but I can't remember what it was now. But anyway, we'll let's play out and find out what it is. So, thank you for listening. If you've made it this far,
thank you.
2 hours 20 minutes into the Hysteria Continues Drunkcast. Normally, we are not drunk. Really, we are very professional.
Well, normally myself, Joseph and Nathan aren't drunk. Yes, that's true.
I'm not drunk normally. But it's 10 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? 11 o'clock in the morning. Of course I wouldn't be drunk.
Well, yeah, you're hungover usually.
Yes. Hungover, that's a different thing, Eric, isn't it?
Yeah, but it still means you've got an alcohol problem. You're kind of like Estelle from Happy Birthday to Me. Oops, have I said too much?
I think you might have done. Who knows? Hopefully we might one day do a commentary for that. Who knows? Maybe that could happen.
Who knows?
Like today. But or yesterday. But no, today, wasn't it? No, anyway, let's carry on. So let's play out with some Japan, which is the most interesting people in pop in 1980.
They are the most interesting people in pop. They're fantastic. Do you know who likes Japan? Amanda Reyes. So, Amanda, this is for you.
Well,
normally we'd say thank you for listening, but sorry that you had to listen to this.
If you made this far, then you are a number one fan of The Hysteria Continues. So we're all going to bed, going to wake up with black lips and actually, I don't know if we're going to work tomorrow, but I know Eric does. And
I have to go to work tomorrow, and it's going to be a 12-hour day.
Oh.
You've only got yourself to blame.
Have fun.
It won't be the,
I'm going to be asleep in my comfy, comfy bed. Good night, everybody.
You're going to be sleeping in your cum?
No. What? Eric, won't be the first long stretch you've had, I'm sure.
I don't have to be at work till midday, so surely my hangover will have dissipated by then.
Exactly. You're Irish. You can just work through it. So,
I wish I was more Irish than I was.
You said you're quarter English.
Well, yeah, I am a quarter English.
Because I remember when I met you and I said, have you got any English in you? And you said no. And I said, would you like some? But you were lying, weren't you? you've got a quarter English in you.
I have a quarter English in me, I do.
So,
yes.
Are you saying your penis is only a quarter in length?
Well, exactly. No, I didn't think that through.
It's 12 inches, baby.
Let's end this.
Do you want me to put the webcam on again?
No!
Not again. Let's finish it before it starts. Come on, let's finish it. Okay, so let's say goodbye to the people. Finally,
goodbye,
come on.
Bye, people. Bye.
Thank you for listening. And in the words of Busta Rhymes, thank you for motherfucking listening, you motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers.
Get your ass in the goddamn kitchen, motherfucker.
Yeah.
motherfucker.
What can you tell us about Michael Myers?
Michael Myers is not a soundbite, a spinoff, a tie-in, some kind of celebrity scandal. Michael Myers is a killer shark with baggy-ass overalls. He gets his kicks off of killing everything and everyone that he comes across.
I would have preferred, you know, just to see him sewing his decapitated head back on.
How are you? You drunk?
No.
No.
Are you going
not to?
Yet.
Not yet. Are you going to be?
I don't know. Probably not.
Well, Nathan's not going to be talking much because I am not going to be the only person on this thing that sounds like he's had too many drinks. Yep. Thank you for interrupting me.
You're going to have a drunken rage.
You're drinking rhubarb cordial.
No, I had some Moscow Mules, but we ran out of vodka, so now I'm just drinking wine. Is vinyl like a record?
Vinyl is like a record.
Yay. Did you
chalk faced whore just then?
I'm having some more cardboard dough. I didn't say anything bad about you. All I said was you were drinking a dirty martini.
Yeah. We were talking about ecstasy and things like that. I'll be right back.
I might get a little top up.
Pause.
Another one. How much
you're going to get your top off? Is that what you just said?
Do you want to know the secrets, Nathan? Top is off and my bottom is off.
I'm wearing a shirt that says, Amity Island welcomes you. Do you know what that's from?
Jaws.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder if any of us have done the podcast naked at one time or another.
God, I love a good wee.
There's nothing like a good wee, is there?
Yeah, it's great.
Whew. God. I've been trying to perfect my British accent.
Say she's like a sponge.
Bloody awful.
Favorite. When I like my mimic Justin, like she's like a sponge. She like sucks the life out of everything around. She's literally a plank walking.
I say, tally ho, my name is Justin.
I'm Justin.
Mummy, can I take the BMW out of the country?
I'm drunk.
I'm kind of like really bad. Like,
no, you're drunk. I can tell.
Yeah, it's and because I'm not talking like I normally do. I'm much more classy. I mean, just to think that Laurie Strode supposedly gets killed off, but Busta Rhymes gets to survive. That's just a sin.
All I could hear was Joseph and Nathan screaming, and I was thinking, what's going on? And suddenly you'd pop up and you'd be like rubbing your tits.